Riders, Rangers, and Rebels, Season 2. Sugarman Shinobi is the legendary underground toy dealer. Dawson Rider is Awesome Rider. And Jedimon is sleeping.
Hello and welcome to our Season 2, Episode 10.
We stand together. Heartache to heartache, we stand together.
That's the new remix.
Oh.
Get in gear.
No.
That tells you all you need to do in life. Get in gear, stand together, Power Rangers RPM. That's my new life philosophy.
It's an interesting philosophy there.
Indeed.
Okay, and right off the bat, I just want to say if the actual fans, not you guys, but like the fans that are cooling me off right now, actually make it
in. So they just picture a bunch of little kids with their Shuki shirts just fanning you with big banana leaves.
Like if any of those noises actually make it into the cast, I apologize in advance. It is like 90 degrees here, and I don't have air conditioning, so.
Yeah. He doesn't stick together.
I don't.
Damn it!
Shush! We are filming right now.
This is very rude.
Alright, anyway, on to the one-ups. Nothing too much. I'm going to talk over the dog. I got my Ami Ami box that had Aqua Ranger and Dragon Ranger and Gojujin with a metallic Tyranoranger key, which is all shiny and pretty. And some Victini sleeves. So I got that in the mail, and then I went out and bought, like, all of the Creos except Mirage. Because I ended up with an odd amount, so I just left the cheapest one for me to buy later. Because Toys R Us was having that buy one, get one 50% off sale.
And he's got a bazillion of them to build now.
Yes. I haven't built any of them. And I bought the Samurai Clawzord and Octozord just because I love them so much. I wanted little playable versions I can have on my desk.
Now, when you want to play with him and he's on the other side of the desk, do you have to text him?
Yes.
Okay.
And he walks over to me.
That'd be epic. See, those are ideas Bandai should take.
But anyway, outside of that, that's really it.
Really?
Really.
Alright. I actually have a bit more ups this week. I'm going to stop the accent now because I can't seem to keep him going for long spurts.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, so I got my Oki package today, and because my neighbor is awesome, he actually signed for it when we weren't here. So that was cool.
Where were you?
I was at school.
Oh. That looks like epic, like.
I was out saving the world with John Casey.
See, now that's epic.
I should have just said that in my epic movie voice. So that has Clay Doll, which is a really odd figure to pull out of the package. Like, it just seems weird.
There's nothing there.
Like, you just have a weird, like, it seems like you have a weird fetish. Like, look, I got a new action figure today. It's a weird staring thing with boobs. And a cat. Thumbs up. And then I got the Shinkengers, and they're sitting there unopened because I had too much to do today. So they'll probably get reviewed later this week. Actually, that's all. I haven't bought anything in stores other than finding Thundercracker, finally. I bought the Clawzord, but it's still in my car because I figure there's no point in reviewing it without Octo, and I haven't been able to find Octo yet. But yeah, that's about it. I just got stuff and been watching RPM, and I've been getting in gear. It's been extreme.
Stand together.
Forever. Rangers together. They spell it THUR. I think Kevin died when I said that a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you died inside when I said that. I'm right here. That's not until later.
Well, that's okay. I'm gonna try to. I enjoy RPM, so I'm gonna try to actually be awake for this one. Man, I enjoy Jungle for you too, so I have no idea.
And then Brian's gonna do something to Kevin while I'm talking to wake him up, like time travel.
He's gonna time travel into
and
the
give
future
him chips.
To the awake me, and bring me potato chips, and then bring me back to the past with the chips so that I can finish recording.
And then drop him off somewhere in the middle to do a summary with chips, and it's really erratic. Okay, drink, Kevin.
But I got stuff this week too. I got my box from Oki.
And I haven't even paid for mine yet.
Oh, faggot. In it, he had the Shinken Blue, Shinken Green, and Clay Doll figure arts. He forgot Skull Crystal.
He did?
Yeah.
Again?
Again. That was the one time.
Oh, I thought it was two times. Oh, no, that's because you waited to have it paid.
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
Then it had Candy Toy Ghost Day Night Key, who's pretty cool, and Capsule Key Set 2, which is pretty neat. And I brought several of those keys with me when, to the wedding I went to on Saturday. They sat in my pocket and kept me company. And
then he was never invited to a wedding ever again. He just puts the keys on top of the cake, knocks the little caricatures off, and just puts keys there.
Oh, that'd have been hilarious. Then I also got my box from Tamiami's with Gojujin, Dragon Ranger, and Aqua Ranger, and inside was a metallic Tyranno Ranger key, and I was all happy face. And I...
Look, his face is squished. That's fun.
Yeah. But he's all shiny, so he's all like, you know, metallic armor, and I'm like, no!
Then he's gone metallics.
That's for a couple of weeks from now.
Tyranno Ranger.
Right.
Such a meat bag.
And then I was all... I forgot where I was going with this. God damn. Oh, I recorded a bunch of reviews. So I actually have stuff to upload for the next few days. So that'll be fun.
It's a miracle in its own.
Fuck your mother.
You'd like that.
No, thank you. But what else do I... But I have. I think that's...
Chlamydia?
Not yet. Oh, my Ankh stance set shipped from HLJ. I think it shipped.
Yay. Did it?
I know I got one. I don't remember if it shipped now, I'll be honest. I know, but I know I paid for it.
Audience, I'm lying.
I don't remember if I got a shipping notice. I know I got like a thank you for your payment. And then I stopped paying attention.
We'll ship sometime between now and next September. That's how HLJ works.
Sounds about right for HLJ.
Yeah, even if it's EMS.
It took me like a week and a half to get my Taja spinner shipped to EMS. I'm like, okay.
And then you got it and we're like, this wasn't even worth it.
Then he got it, it wasn't even worth it, and like, you guys had yours already. Like, I got mine like a day before Kevin or something.
I think you still got your review up first, which is funny.
Yeah, I'm faster.
That's what she said.
Shugan Shinobi always comes quickly.
That's because the Ranger Series Shuki has a 10-second time burst.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's awesome.
This is just getting awful, and I think we should end it now.
Okay.
Okay. Podcast 5 minutes.
Just kidding.
We should end it with the news we have. Good Lord.
Okay. Okay. So,
are we starting with the good stuff and then going to the shit?
We didn't talk about this at all.
Of game news.
Let's talk about the figure arts first, or the Tamashii Nations thing. Last weekend, the Tamashii Festival 2011, yada yada yada, bullshit, occurred.
Bullshit.
That is bullshit. thank you, Danny Wing. Occurred as always, and of course a bunch of new shit was announced, because that's what they do at these things, except for Tamashii features earlier in the year. They didn't announce shit. But, anyway. So, the way I have it divided up is by, like, show. So we're gonna start with Rider stuff, because that's the first one on the list.
We're gonna do Riders, Rangers, and then Rambles.
So, yes. There was a lot of Rider stuff shown, most of which was new, which was both exciting and terrifying at the same time. So, I mean, as for...
Where the fuck's G3 Mild?
As, not here.
I can't control myself.
Yeah, neither was Saga, Futo-kun, Max Kabuto.
Revelgary?
The Heart Splasher?
I would actually prefer if Revelgary just died in a hole, but...
I prefer if they just, like, tripped and threw it in the trash can on accident.
Indeed. So, for the figure arts, new things that were shown include Nego, V3, which were kind of obvious, but we'll talk about them later. Deno Climax Form, who was on the pole, one of those...
He did after Deno ended, he couldn't make the money, so he had to take to the pole, so...
Zolda, Oja, Lost Ankh, Anklet...
Little Bird.
Oz, Takajaba, which is going to be the figure that you mail away for with the booklet.
I need to talk
mail away
with that book.
Oh, sorry. I couldn't.
And then like they showed a bunch of effect parts for O's related figures, but like the double ones, I highly doubt we're gonna see any of them.
Yeah.
But that's really about all for the figure arts. SIC Super One and Skyrider were shown, and Kiwami. Kiwami Side Bashar, Kaiza's bike, and Wolf Orphanok were shown, which looks really cool actually. But it
does.
That's really about it for the new rider stuff. There was some older stuff that was shown that isn't released yet. So moving along to the Super Sentais. All right, so the guy that kicked off this entire thing, Ami Ami was reporting it on tweeters, and they tweeted a picture of Juzo from Shinkenger in figure arts form, and I flipped a ship.
And he was like, "Go fuck yourself!" And we're back in the barrel.
And probably the biggest surprise was Gosei Knight. Everyone wanted him, and he might have even made one of the character pulls. I don't remember.
I think he did.
But everyone wanted him, and here he is, and he looks absolutely fantastic.
He's going to be my favorite Sentai figure.
Pretty much. He looks great.
He does great because he's already, like, rider-esque.
Yeah.
So he doesn't look like a weirdo mannequin.
And the other three Gokaiders were shown, yellow, pink, and silver. Silver looks pretty cool. And that was all for figure arts. On the Super Robot Shogokin side of things, Deca Ranger Robo was shown, which is supposed to be released in November, I think.
Welcome now.
And he apparently comes with a little pet striker that you can take apart and stick into Super Robot Shogokin Gokaiyo.
Yay, which is
really, really cool. It's like a miniature DX toy, so.
It's awesome.
I know, right?
It's totally DX.
It is. So, he looks awesome. And then, also, like, not shown was Magi King. And he comes with a Magi Dragon that can disassemble and go inside.
He wasn't supposed to be photographed, and then someone took a photograph of him anyway and then ran away laughing like a little gremlin.
Yeah.
I think it was Oki. But
probably. And so Sun Vulcan Robo was shown too. He was shown a while ago and still hasn't been released. He's suffering the same fate as G3 Mile. But at least he was at the show. G3 Mile wasn't.
G3
poor son of a bitch.
I want him.
The Godzilla figures that were announced.
I mean, this is the time when I take a nap.
Tamashii Festival last year, maybe? Were shown here. The line's officially called SH Monster Arts, which is a pretty cool name, I think, even though I have no interest in any of these figures.
They just add arts to everything at the end now.
confirmed is Godzilla and Mechagodzilla, and then they showed Space Godzilla and Mogira. So, for Godzilla fans who know what I'm talking
Godzilla,
about...
Godzilla, his name is Mo.
Mozilla. Oh, God, Mozilla, that's a company.
Mozilla Firefly.
Moving along to a series near and dear to all of our hearts except for Dawson.
Hey, now. It's got the most epically named character in the history of characters.
Bunny?
No.
Tiger?
No.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, they had a huge Tiger and Bunny display. And
awesome.
They confirmed that they're releasing every character in the show.
Just like Kamen Rider.
So, both Tiger and Bunny that we already know and have pre-ordered were on display, along with Dragon Kid, Rock Bison, Sky High, Blue Rose, Fire Emblem,
what's a movie rip-off
Origami ours? Cyclone, and then they showed Tiger's bike. So, with the sidecar for Bunny and all that
fun stuff.
Like you said,
and they showed Tiger's butt.
Technically, they showed that, too. Because along with those SH figure arts, we have figure art zeros of Kotetsu, which is Tiger, and Barnaby, which is Bunny, obviously.
Yay.
And they look really, really accurate and really cool. So I'm kind of stoked for those. Because I need all the Tiger and Bunny stuff I can get.
Then you should get those headphones I saw on Premium Bandai.
That's the guy, I forget his name, Flaming Boy. What's his name?
Fire Emblem?
Fire Emblem.
Yeah. He's going to be like one of the... another awkward figure to have on display next to Clay Doll. Like,
he's got high heels.
Yeah, I was like, that guy have high heels, dude? Shut up.
Oh well.
Quaidel looks like a derp face.
Quaidel is a derp face. But she's gonna look so good with the other Dopants.
Yeah, mother.
Oh, the people who didn't get them.
A bunch of Ultra X stuff was shown, but I don't know anything about any of these. So just look at the pictures. All I know is that there was a guy called Fire Knight and a guy called Mirror Knight, and they look pretty neato. But that's about the extent of my knowledge here.
And they all have loose joints.
Yep.
Reportedly. Yep.
And then as for Garo, absolutely nothing was shown except for Garo Kiwami Kiba.
Kiba?
So he looks pretty cool for the people collecting those. I'm just going to wait for the figure arts. And for people that were like us and collecting the DBZ figure arts before they disappeared off the face of the planet, we'd be pleased to announce that they're finally making Vegeta.
Oh my god!
Finally.
No way.
This is Vegeta styled after the Android Cell Saga. Super Saiyan, armor, all that fun stuff. So he looks really, really good. So as long as he actually like stays that good, it'll be a really nice release.
Then they just get me trunks and then they can go home.
Yeah. Sadly, Vegeta was the only one shown, so hopefully Vegeta's sales will actually be good and they actually continue releasing these some more.
Yeah.
But on the D-Art side of things, the entire X collection was on display. So X, the first Zero, and then X in the full armor. Nothing new was shown, though. As for Metabots...
More Metabots. More power.
Rokusho, I don't know if his Japanese name is different, so I can't help you there.
It's Rokusho.
Is it Rokusho there,
too? They say
it.
I remember it.
Okay. And he was shown there, and he looks pretty neat, as always. And then they showed five silhouettes that I don't know who they are except for Smilodon.
They look vaguely familiar, but not enough for me to make out their form.
Yeah, I don't really remember too much besides the main Metabot. So,
Full power.
Someone listed them in a thread, I think. So, but regardless, whether they're actually being made or not, who really knows at this point?
What were those little? I just want to know what those Digidestined figures next to the D arts were.
Who knows? What happened to Diaboromon? I don't know.
Help! I want more Digimon figure arts, and I want my crossword.
Gallimon like died somewhere.
I want my figure arts. I mean, D arts Pikmons.
Yes.
Forever Pikmons, man.
Forever Pikmons.
Team Crossheart for life. Represent.
So, anyway, discussion times.
I have a boner.
Oh my god!
I know, right? Like. I got so excited and sad.
We talked for like an hour in the middle of Toys R Us.
Is that where you were?
Yeah, because that's when I was buying the Creos. You're like, what are you buying now? I'm like, Creos?
And then when these first started tweeting out, the first thing that came out was that Sober Robot Chogokin Deca Base, or not
yeah.
Deca Base, Deca Ranger Robo. Brian just like spit in my face. We're sitting here talking, and he just goes, and then he's trying to link me, and I had to actually copy and paste it. I think I got carpal tunnel for doing that. Oh, hardships.
Like,
I'm most excited for Ghost Anime.
I know. I got excited about a lot of them. Ghostly Knight, Juzo. How can you not be excited over Juzo? It's a Rick Medina figure art.
Every time I see him, I see Rick Medina's face.
Bandai. This show pretty much concluded the fact that Bandai Japan just takes Bandai of America and like kills it.
Pretty much, they're like you, Retro Fires. Fuck you, Rick.
They're
Medina.
Like, oh, you're making a Decker? Ha, we're making Figure Arts Juzo. Oh, you're making Retro Fire,
Delta Max,
Titan Megazord, and Delta Squad Megazord. Ha, Super Robot Chogokin.
Where's my Geki Toga, bitch? Toga. I want a Geki Toga and a Geki Toga. I would totally wear a Geki Ranger themed toga around town. Geki Toga. Oh, it's a legendary.
I mean, the Gokaiders were obvious. They look good, but they were obvious.
I have a bad feeling about Gold Mode being exclusive.
Stop!
That's not really a bad feeling anymore, though. I'm almost relieved when things are exclusive because I know I can get them easier. I can just tell Ogi to get one and he will do whatever it takes.
He is a soldier.
Like, it's a little more expensive, but you're guaranteed it instead of half, like, if you miss it or your internet goes out or something.
Yeah. That's what about getting fished. Who else? Climax, Deno.
He looks really good.
Yeah, I'm liking him.
A lot of the base mold is from New Deno, which is nice because New Deno's mold was pretty nice.
I mean, like, Climax isn't my favorite form of Deno, but it's a form of Deno, plus he does look really good, so I'm okay with it.
Another, like, evil ideas, people were like, oh, they'll probably release an effects part later. No, I'm pretty sure Super or Cho Climax form is going to be another release.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, everyone's like, they just need wings. They need wings and another head.
Yeah.
People keep missing the fact there's an extra emblem on Cho Climax's forehead.
So it's going to be another release, and we're going to buy it.
Probably. Those wings are epic. Who else we had? I'm trying to think off the top of the head.
Zoldan and Oja.
Zoldan and Oja. There's no word on if they come with their monsters or not. I'm hoping they do.
I hope they do, just because I kind of want all the monsters.
I want the monsters just because they make it worth it for me purchasing the
purchasing.
I don't know, purchasing the damn thing.
The tiger and bunny guys look fantastic. Like, I can't wait. That made me so happy. And then they had the show. At the festival was the Armor Plus Samurai Troopers, the other ones. And then I was like, oh fuck, I have to buy these two. Those are like $90 a pop.
He does like samurai.
They're all shiny and die-cast, and they reflect the light. They put giant, bright lights right in front of these bastards. So
that's
how
they get you.
So they reflect the light. You're like, ooh,
that's
shiny.
How they made Earth look so good, and then you get him, and he's blind. Why are you Tenaya? What is going on here?
I think Earth is played by Stevie Wonder. And
Earth 15. I'm excited for the Metabot D-Arts as well.
Yeah.
I was hoping to see more Digimons. Or at least
That really bummed me out. It was like, I was really hoping for some more X figures and Digimon, and there wasn't anything, so.
Maybe next.
I'm surprised they didn't show more D-Arts or something. Like, they didn't.
D-Arts has been more successful than Dragon Arts, Big Arts, Dragon Ball.
Dragon Arts.
One thing I have to say is something that bugs me is on all the threads, whenever we have one of these shows. Freak the shit out. They're like, oh my god, Bandai, you're killing me. I'm going to have to get 8 jobs now. Oh, man, I better just stop buying things and cut back. I'm like, they're not going to demand your money for all these figures you want tomorrow. It's like, these are going to be released over 6 months to a year, and plus most of the stuff we've heard about won a poll, and we know they're going to make a figure out for everything. What is the big deal? It's like, I hate that.
Look at the last show. Like we said already, all those figures I showed at the last show, half of them aren't even out yet.
We got 2% of them.
We've heard no more from them since we saw them. We're all like, oh, Zomagod Saga, Zomagod, all this other stuff. And like, where'd they go?
Yeah, seriously. It's like,
G3 Mild literally died. Like, I think what happened is,
I think they thought they released him already.
Yeah, there's two guys at the office. They each think the other one, like, put out the release order.
Actually, I think what happened is they look over at their big picture while it says released items, and they see regular G3 and just think it's the same thing.
He's mild, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Let's go sit down, Bill. My name's not Bill. This is Japan.
Beeru.
Whatever. Beeru. Now go find Marissa.
But, I mean, I have faith that all these are going to come out pretty much within the next 5 months or so. Just because, I mean, Nigo and V3 were so easy to make out of Ichigo.
Yeah.
Zolda and Oja are obvious, continuing the Ryuki. And that was really it for Rider stuff. So that was all pretty much obvious stuff. Deno Climax Storm's a nice new thing.
Yeah, because he's in the poll and people have been wanting him forever. He's been in, like, several polls, I feel like.
Yeah, he Climax Storm's won pretty much. Not won, but been in the top 10.
I feel like that's not only because Deno's popular, but because that was the, like, one of the only exclusive Sochaku Henshin figures.
Yeah.
But, like, the Ryuki stuff basically is just a giant FU to Max Factory and their makeup. Like, I want to see them. I don't care if they take forever to release everyone else. I just want to see a Blade and a Hibiki figure so we can at least complete the lineup and then take your time.
Yeah.
But they're bouncing all around. They're all crazy. They need to hurry up and finish Riders so we can get Sentai stuff.
I'm surprised we didn't see a Delta.
Yeah, or something. Or Kaiser or somebody.
We saw Kaiser. We have Kaiser pre-ordered.
Fuck, you're right. I'm sorry. I was thinking. I forgot about
we
him.
We have Kaiza Dawson.
I forgot about him because I don't care.
Wow.
And Kevin comes in. How could you not care? He has a sword. Oh my god, you're so right. He's my new favorite.
I mean, I can't believe you. Really, like, Kaiza is so epic.
I haven't seen the show. And he looks like an emergency man. Like, he looks like he's ready to stop traffic. He's so yellow. Whatever happened to Banana Axel? Speaking of yellow, was he supposed to be the original idea behind Booster?
Maybe.
I bet we'll still see it, though. It's too easy to make. They just put a little Axel over into the pan spray, and they're done. And then we have to pay. They spray, we pay. Lol.
But yeah, all the stuff is just really awesome.
Yeah, pretty much. Except for Onclip, because I hate him. Mm-hmm. He does look good. I can easily see. I thought for sure, actually, that we would see a complete Ankh in the show by some point now, or when they do, and like that would be a regular release or whatever, a regular exclusive, and then they do that Toy Hero Net thing for Onklet, like they do with the Nazcas.
Yeah.
I totally saw that happening. I think if Brian would have called that first, then it would have happened.
Oh, but because he didn't, yeah. See that?
No, let's just sit silent for a minute. Appreciate these figures.
I'm just happy.
I'm just excited for Ghostly Night. And then the excitement is taken away for the Decker figure. They just need to make a figure of Rita. It's not ugly.
Okay. We're moving along?
Rant. Let's go to the next stuff.
Move along.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, it's happened. We've gotten pictures of all this Forze crap. As expected, unfortunately, it's all true. So, up first, we have our picture of Forze.
I can't
he's
take
like,
this stuff seriously.
He's blasting off into space with his rocket arm. And, yeah. The next picture we see shows, look, here's a belt and switches, and they do this. And then we see, like,
still fuckly.
We see the candy toy set, or some part of the candy toy set, and they show us, hey, look, your switches work with the Gomberide machine. Hooray. Then, these little fuckers have the nerve to go, hey, look, guys, this is how much we sold with Double. Then look how much we sold with O's. This is how much we want to sell with Forze. I'm like, go die in a hole, you bastards.
And then I'm like...
And then,
excellent reaction. Like, that's so arrogant, it pisses me off.
Yeah.
He burped.
Makes me
off.
Not want to support them.
Yeah.
Also, Brian, that picture of your Takatora top figure makes me want it still. So epic.
And, so then the next picture is the actual thing for the Forze driver.
Bueller. Sorry.
What?
We see it comes with four switches.
He said such an unenthusiastic voice.
I'm sad.
I'm sad. It'll be okay, Kevin.
You pull the lever, he transforms, you push down a switch, it says the name of the switch, and then on. And then if you push the button and push the switch, it does his final attack, which is a limit break.
Limit
so that's,
the break.
You mean Maximum Drive version 3.0?
That's for September. Then also in September is Switch Set 1, which is two switches, the Parachute Switch and Chainsaw Switch. Their switches 7 and 8. They come with a Gomberide card. All these sets come with a Gomberide card. Then for October we have, let's see, switches 12 and 13, the Heat Switch and the Chain Array Switch.
The Metal Switch. Oh, wait.
For November, we have Switch Set 3, the Shield Switch and Gatling Switch. Those are 18 and 19. And then for December, we have Switch Set 4, numbers 21 and 22, the Stealth Switch and the Hammer Switch. Yeah. So that's already, what, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 switches. Just there. Then, oh, look.
That's only the first page.
I know, right? Then you have the real faggots in the set, the food droids. Now, we could call them food droids, or we could call them Aqua Teen Hunger Force Transformers. That's what I'm going to go with.
We can call the first one Wally.
So we have Burger Meal, which is basically meat wad on a bun. And he turns into Wally. And he comes with Switch 6, the camera switch. That's right. These bastards come with switches.
Toothpick sticking out of it? I've never noticed that before.
What?
Like on the side of this little toothpick thing sticking out. What is that supposed to be? You see it?
Oh, that's like his... It sticks out of his hand.
Okay.
And his hands are lettuce and tomatoes. How...
It sticks out of his leg, then I'm sorry. So the toothpick says penis.
Okay. That makes sense.
Oh, God. That comes out in September. Next up is number Foodroid 2 Frylock, also known as Potechokin.
Frylock? It sounds like a Power Rangers villain. Frylock!
He comes
He's
with...
He's going to take it apart if he goes up against that Frylock.
Switch 14, the scissor switch. Now, Switch 6 is the camera switch. This is Switch 14. And then number 3 is... what is it? What's it called? Something shake.
Furoshiki,
which turns into something that's like a penguin. So it's Master Shake. He comes with Switch 17, the flash switch. So he has an intersect. Then we see the Astro Switch bag, which only holds 10 switches.
It's like a hat, not a hat.
It's like a briefcase. I don't know why they call it a... Well, Gabon is like a, like, just kind of like a briefcase kind of word. They just translate it as bag.
Oh, in any case, so they have, it comes with Switch 16, the winch switch. That's December.
Giggle.
The milkshake is November. The fries are October. So that's 4 more switches. Now we're at 16 switches. Right?
Righto.
That was unprofessional, and I apologize.
Then the next picture is the FMCS, the Forza Module Chain Series, also known as the Fuck My Cock Series. Each one comes with 4 weapons. So, like, number 1 is base states. It comes with the weapons for Switches 1, 2, 3, and 4, which is rocket launcher, drill, and radar.
Actually, it's a peg leg. Mistaken.
That's September. October is 02, elect states, which comes with, what's that, 6? Is that 6? 6, 8, 9, and 10, which
I
is...
forgot 7, idiots!
Which is camera, chainsaw, hopping, and electric. Hopping is a pogo stick.
On one leg, how does this work?
He's very talented.
Then 03 is in November. Fire states, which comes with 12, 18, 19, and 20. 12 is the heat. 12 is the heat switch, which gives
like
him.
Four numbers.
It gives him a space heater on his leg. 18
is Gatling.
Oh God.
20 is fire. Then we see the Rider Heroes in a punching bag.
This is
then,
take out all your aggression on what you've seen thus far.
Then we see the weapons, which change him form. So we have Billy the Rod, which is not a rod. It's a sword with a... It's an electrical plug, so I guess he turns into a construction worker or something. I don't know what's happening. Or something like that. I don't know if he's an electrician or a construction worker or what. But it basically turns him into an electric plug.
They won first.
And it comes with Switch 10, the electric switch. Then we have the high hack gun, which shoots fire and water for some reason. He's a fireman.
Maybe Garen.
It comes with Switch 20, the fire switch. So you have to buy these fuckers to get switches. Billy the Rod's an October release. The high hack gun's a November release. Then finally we have the bike, the Machine Meshiggler.
Fuckers!
Which is a regular ass machine bike. But it comes with the Power Dicer, which is a robot that turns into some kind of bike seat thing that turns into a launcher for the bike. That comes out in November and has no switch that comes with it that we know of. So the one cool looking item does not come with a Switch. So
go
we have
figure.
Yeah, we have 18 Switches that are coming out that we know about in the first 4 months of the show.
They said they're going to release 40 eventually.
That doesn't count Switches. That doesn't count Switch 5, which we don't know, which is the Reacher Switch. We don't know where that comes in yet.
Oh, God.
9 is the Hopping Switch. We don't know where that comes from yet. And then 11 and 15, we don't know a damn thing about, which makes 22 Switches out of the 40. I don't even know what's going on anymore. I'm just scared.
You and me both, bro.
I mean, this Billy the Rod here is trying to pass itself off as legit by putting Deluxe in front of its name. What's up with that? I've met Ice Cream more Deluxe than this.
Just the fact that there's a weapon named Billy the Rod and it's a sword.
They have officially lost it.
Yeah.
It's a sword.
Yeah. Duh. Losing.
Duh. Killing myself. Duh. Suicide. I don't know anymore.
Last time we were all like, not in the last time with the toy like, you know, list, but last time when we first got information about Forge, we're like, oh, we're cautiously optimistic. This might be cool. I mean, he's Danny Zuko and he looks simple. And then they're like, let's make the absolute worst gimmick show we could ever make in the history of gimmick shows until next year, in which he has a belt with 5 SD card slots.
Okay, let's go through these. The driver. The driver itself is really big and ridiculous looking.
And ugly. It's so busy. It looks like a bootleg toy.
Like, I mean, it's only busy because these switches are all different colors, so nothing really matches.
Yeah. And, like, that, I don't know, it's LEDs in the middle now. That was so funny that I thought it was a Ranger key. That was funny. I laughed for at least 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And then that big, like, throttle switch on the side of it looks very cumbersome to me.
Yeah, it looks like a cucumber to me, too. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Weird is always funny to me.
And the Astro Switch sets are basically just, hey, look, metal sets.
Except you get two instead.
Here's two switches and a Gombride card.
And hey, look, we're still doing Gombride cards. I forgot about that shit.
Smiter.
No Saki.
Oh, God, don't do that.
Move along?
Yes. Let's talk about the things that makes us just want to punch babies.
Okay. When I got your tweet, Dawson, that said something about the food droids looking ridiculous, I was like, ooh, pictures. And I was like about to go out swimming. And so I was like, I need to see this. So I ran downstairs. And then I couldn't find them, so I needed it. I was like, where the fuck are these pictures? And then you guys helped me.
I remember that. Rayo and I instantaneously, within seconds of each other, like, oh, who's the better friend? It's just really funny.
The second I seen the burger, douchebag, I about flipped his shit. Okay. Now, McDonald's did something like this way back when they had like a McNugget box that transformed
into the pool and started beating him.
And I did. I was pretty close. Poor Jeff, he was there at the wrong place at the wrong time. No. Actually, I was looking at these. I was like, you were shitting me. And I was like, dude, you have to come down here and look at this. And then we just went, whoa, 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 whoa. I can't just put myself in the mindset to buy a burger that transforms into a terrible looking robot.
Hello?
Dawson killed himself. I'm just gonna keep moving along.
Okay.
And the lettuce and the tomato has horribly shaped arms, and his legs are the buns, and the meat flips around and makes Wally eyes, and I mean, it's a clever transformation. I just don't like it.
Well, that's where the clever transformations stop, because the rest of them are awful.
The rest, the fry dude, you flip him over and, like, flip open, like, the lid. Like, not the lid, but the top part, and that's about it. And then, I don't mind the shake so much, just because it reminds me of a Candroid mixed with something out of Cubix. But... it's still just... I don't understand, like... So you had the disc animals, like, it was musical themed, they turned into CDs, that's great. Double's a detective, the memory gadgets were, like, detective-related things, like a tracker and a camera and a phone and things you would need. And then you had the Candroids, which were stupid in concept, but with the whole vending machine and the coins, and you needed to pay the coins to get the Candroids, I warmed up to it, and I really like the Candroids. I think they look really neat.
Even if a lot of them end up being underused.
I can't figure out for the life of me how these are going to be effective.
And
they don't even use the switches. They don't use the switches at all. The switches are just there to make you buy them.
This is just a ploy. We caught you this time, Bandai. We caught you red-handed.
What is Forza going to be holding the douchebag and just go, oh, look at this, and throws the burger and it turns into a little Wally robot and does what? I don't know what it would do.
It's just, like, last time, I remember we got mad last time at Candroids for being a rip-off memory gadgets. This is like a blatant rip-off. They just changed the first word. It's ridiculous. Like, well, look, they bought it. Let's make it more expensive and stupid.
I don't know. And then this bag that only holds 10, like, oh, buy 4 bags. I'm like, fuck you.
This isn't even a bag, you idiot.
Anyone else?
Android just anger me.
Like, what I'm getting early.
Did Kevin just do like, that for you?
Yeah, he bubbled in and out.
I was all like, I want to know what the bare minimum is I have to buy. And they're like, huh, everything, bitch. I'm like, no.
Everything but the punching bag, which you're going to need anyway to take out your aggression.
And the coolest item that you've seen was a robot bike.
And that doesn't even come with a Switch. Like, look at this, the weapons. I don't like the weapons.
We'll get to them.
Oh, well, you just skipped ahead to the bike.
No, I was just saying that's the one of the things that you don't need to buy, and it's probably the coolest thing on the list.
Plus, the bike's name is Shiggler, so it's automatically winning.
Yeah.
The Fuck My Cock series. I mean, it's just the typical gimmick figures.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how it's going to work in the show, because at the moment, like, with the exception of, like, the other random switches it appears, it looks like he uses the 4 sets or 3 sets or whatever for each form, so it just seems like it won't be as fun as O's, just because O's did so many mixed combos, and it's fun to make figures.
He mixes. You can see base mixes. You can see base state use the pogo stick right in the picture.
Okay. Well, it can be as fun, but not, like, as fun looking, because you don't get, like, a totally different rider every time you change it up. You just get him sitting here with his weird little prosthetics.
Plus we have official confirmation that he can use 2 at one time, because he has a drill rag and the rocket arm. Drill rag and the rocket arm. At the same time.
Okay.
And then,
well, I still don't think it'll be as fun as those.
Speaking of the forms, I like his base form because I'm a space nut. I like that.
But, space nut.
But the electric one is like supposed to be a construction worker or something. I don't see it.
I don't know.
I just don't like. I don't really like. I don't hate them like a huge, like, rage against them. I just don't care for either.
I don't really hate them. They just don't really appeal to me right now.
But yeah, like, I don't really hate them. It's just, I don't, like, the base form grew on me because I really like the whole white aesthetic. But, like, the two other ones, like, I don't, like, want to punch them into the ground, but I just don't care for them.
Electabuzz and Baby Garn.
Yep. That's exactly what they are.
I already gave my thoughts on Billy the Rod.
It's stupid. It plugs into shit. What's wrong with that?
And the gun, I just don't really like the gun. It shoots fire, it shoots water. I'm like, make up your mind. But, I mean, the power dicer is probably the coolest thing that we've seen. And it's, like, unimportant to the toy line. Like, it's just there. But, I like the way that looks, because I like Transformers, but
The bike thing is kind of cool and interesting. I wonder how he's going to use that. Like,
I'm wondering how he's going to use the rocket mode with the bike attached to the power dicer as some sort of, like, launcher. Is he going to fly, or?
Yeah, I don't know how this works.
I guess.
Man, I guess.
I don't know anymore, man. I don't know. Why are they do this to us?
Like, it just, it seemed like such a, not a gimmick list, because they had the whole weapon changing thing, but like, it seems so safe, and then, like, I just don't see the Switches doing as well as memories or medals.
Just because they're not as pretty on the shelf.
They're just weird little capsule-looking things.
And it's obvious what they're trying to do this time. Like, they're always trying to push a gimmick, but it's just so in your face this time.
And, like, and then it's just like, that graph just pissed me off. It's like, look at how rich O's made us. Let's get richer with 4Z Dirt. I'm like, okay, that's enough of you.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But, I don't know. I'm just, I'm really, I, nothing in this, like, appeals to me.
Now we're back to your regular schedule.
Okay, I forgot what I was going to say.
We were just sighing a lot.
Oh, it's like reverse O's. Like, when we read the thing about O's, I hated it. And then I was like, okay. And then we've seen the pictures, and I'm like, hey, I like this stuff. Coins are cool. I like collecting coins. And then with this, everything looked cool from, like, the show schematics. And then you get the pictures of the toys, and everything looks derpy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're just so gimmicky. Like, they have so many Switches and powers that they're coming up with ridiculous stuff, like a space heater.
I don't understand what the, like, all these weapons, and then, and they're just so strange.
Like, and I'm just kind of fed up with the way Ryder's going right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like what, like, we were talking about during Ghost Sager, how, like, they were treating Sentai as just a, like, a, like, a commercial with no plot.
Yeah.
Like, that's, it just, it feels like that, except Ryder's always been better with plot, but it just, it's like they're just shoving it down your throats at this point.
But, like, even, like, O's, I enjoy O's, but you can still feel the product placement a lot more than you could with Double. Like, it just feels like it's going in the steady direction that I don't agree with, where it's, like, kind of going away from what Ryder once was, which was, like, more, like, serious stuff than Sentai, and it's turning into a lot, like, more silly gimmicks and shit. Just to, it just bugs me. It's like, well, we're push, like, there are people talking, go ahead.
I was looking through the comments, and Zingecho said, FMCS, otherwise known as Fuck My Crazy Shitty Life. The description fitting the feeling I get when I see the food trucks.
But, like, I mean, these are just a different type of gimmick, but, like, Double, like, what I've always said, I don't know if it's my bias for Double, but it always seemed like he used everything better. Like, all of his things had a purpose, and he used them for each situation. And O's does that sometimes, but O's has the too many powers, and they're too similar. Mm-hmm. And this is just going to be even more crap. I'm just, I'm done. I checked in my card so I can go get a BM in the PM.
Right, like, yeah. Well, a lot, okay, I'm going to discuss this now.
Go ahead.
Okay, a lot of, you know, people go, why do you get so angry? Why do you hate 4Z so much? Okay, well, first of all, it's not that we hate the show, because we can't hate a show that hasn't premiered yet. Right? So, all you see is a basic and these toys. The reason we hate the we get a problem with these toys is mostly, I mean, yeah, not none of the stuff is really like, ooh, super wow, amazing. But, I mean, the Switches, to me, don't look that bad. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I don't think they look bad.
I'm fine with the Switches.
I just don't think they look as good on display as memories.
They're not as good as shelf pieces. Like, the medals are all shiny and pretty, and the memories are cool, and this isn't not cool.
The memories do things like...
And yeah. And the Switches do stuff like, fuck you, buy toys.
Well, not only that, and...
Yes, we understand that for the past...
Oh, shit.
What happened?
You bubbled again.
Bubbled. Right when you said yes, you were like, yes! Yeah, the past few years, like, you went into Nikozu mode. This is a game struggle.
Like, yes, we understand that for the past few years we've been having things where it's like, hey, buy this toy to get our gimmick. However, in those instances, the stuff made sense, and a lot of times was used in the show. Right? I mean, like, memory gadgets. Okay, memory gadgets. They were used in the show. They had a purpose.
They defeated the final villain.
The memories worked with the memory gadgets. So it was all fun and games there, and there was only six of them. Then we had Kandroids, of which there were 9, including Tora. And you know how many we saw on the show on a regular basis? Taka, Gorilla. And that was pretty much it.
Whatever Except happened to little Tricera? Remember when we were like, oh, Tricera and Gorilla are going to replace the support when Date's gone? No, it's Sadonaka.
No, Tricera pretty much died.
Poor Tricera, he was so adorable.
Terra pretty much died, Kujaku, Unagi, they all pretty much died.
Dr. Magi has all the Terras in his diaper.
Bata's been there a little bit because of what it does. Taco, poor Taco was there like in episode 2 and then ran away.
Just like Gatsukiriba.
Exactly. Like, you know, so that got a little bit annoying, but the thing about the Kandroids was they're adorable.
Yeah.
These things, however, are not. And especially the fact that it's like, okay, the gimmick, just the gimmick of transforming helper item that has a possible random purpose that may or may not be used more than once because we want to sell a toy, has been done several times before. This is now the 4th iteration of it, if you count the disc animals.
Well, you know what bugs me is they don't eat hamburgers and fries in space food. They have, like, little pastes. This isn't space
and tang.
Food. Yeah, what happened to the tang? Instead, we got a milkshake.
Like, I'm just trying to figure out what purpose a transforming hamburger would serve.
Exactly.
Like, at least the Kandroids, like, they came out of the vending machine. That's why there were cans. And then they all were transformed into animals that served their purpose.
Well, and then just the idea of the Kandroids, once you see the show, makes sense because they were experimenting with the metals with technology and that birthed the Kandroids. I cracked myself up. Mystic Knights.
You know, like it made sense. Like, but these don't, and these are just blatantly like, okay, we know that this stuff looks like crap, so we're going to include switches that don't even work with the toy just to make you buy them.
Like, I mean, I know Cell Metals didn't work with the toy either, but to me, they always just felt like a bonus. I mean, I guess the switches are a bonus in this case, but you didn't need the Cell Metals to have everything because they didn't, like, make the combos in the toy. But, I mean, the switches are all important. You need
well,
to get... You need
Cell
to
Metals
get
did make a different noise.
Yeah, but, I mean, you do need to get Douchebag to get Switch 6.
Yeah. Like, that's one thing that bothers me is it's kind of happened the past few years, but the fact that you have to spend 2 to 3 times the amount you spend on the belt to get all the noises, like, it used to be just the belt and then the final item, if you wanted it, and that only unlocked a couple sounds unless it already is included in the final item. Like, Extreme doesn't even do anything with the belt.
Yeah.
But look how much money we've spent just to unlock all the sounds for the Oath Driver.
A ridiculous amount. Like, that's kind
Thank
of the
you,
problem.
Thank you, Kevin.
Like, that's the problem. Like, it's that... I mean, like, if it wasn't for the food droids, I probably wouldn't have as much of a problem with some of this stuff. I'd be like, okay, I can buy switch sets and a belt and be happy with my life. And then on top of that, they throw... And then moving along from that, they have these weapons, okay?
That's what bothers me, is the switch sets and the weapons. That's Metal Shaft, and, Trigger Magnum, plus Metal Sets.
Okay, well, in any case, we bought... yes! We had to buy a Metal Shaft and a Trigger Magnum in order to get memories. But the Trigger Magnum was freaking badass, for one thing.
Well, yeah, but it's like combining the concept of having to get weapons with double and metal sets.
Well, it is combining the concept. And then also, I mean, the Trigger Magnum wasn't that big. The Skull Magnum wasn't that big. But you get things like the Metal Shaft, the Birth Buster. Those are pretty large. Looking at these two items here, they're going to be pretty large, too.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit here and have to... be like, oh, EMS only derp face and spend, like, and pay out the ass for shipping to get one switch.
I just hate the idea, like I said, of them combining the two structures of the previous 2 years' toy lines, and then I also don't like having to buy weapons that I don't like, because they just end up in this damn bucket over here in the corner of the room, because there's nowhere to display them. I don't have a fixed display for weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That too.
Like, I mean, there's always a thing, like, you don't need to buy the weapon because you can probably get the switch in, like, a capsule set or something. But, I mean,
the deluxe clutches are legit.
For some people, like, the back of the cores matter. Like, if the back of the cores weren't the ones that come with, like, the metal sets and stuff, where they have lines, some people are bothered if they're not all the same. So, I mean... You're in a
or
position.
Or the memories. The memories, the cap, they didn't always, they didn't work properly.
They didn't work the same, they didn't have lights.
And then, with the metals, in most cases, I can't really think of one where it's not, but there's a more accurate color with the deluxe.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a few cases where they're really similar. I kind of prefer the capsule side just because it's all colored in, but the deluxe one is more accurate to the show. And then they're going to be like, Herp Derp exclusive premium Bandai 40 switches set at the end of the year, and they're going to be pretty or something. I don't know. They're going to shit gold on them and then give it to you. We might, you know what, let's just not buy it and just get that set at the end of the year.
I was considering it.
That sounds like fun. Let's do that. All right, next story.
Well, like, I mean, I'm waiting to reserve, like, final judgment until I see the show, but, I mean, as far as discussion of the toy line's concerned, like, I'm just kind of fed up with everything.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I can't really say anything bad about the show, because I'm still, like, curious to see how everything works out.
I'm still going
to
watch the show, and the show might be great, and I might love the show, but...
Yeah, like,
just,
I'm
like,
still curious.
Most of these toys, I just can't convince myself to buy, because I just don't like how they look.
Yep, that's pretty much the same. Brian just gave my thoughts, so I'm not needed. I'm going to go take a nap now.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I have to do my O summary in, like, 1 minute and 45 seconds.
All right, so we done bitching a fit?
My God, just going to have a BF. It's going to have a bitch fit. You better get out of here. Hopefully people get that joke.
Right.
Kevin got murdered by his microphone.
I don't even know, man. I don't even know.
I don't know. All I know is we're going to get a bunch of comments. You guys are all complaining now, and like in 3 months you're going to be all like, I love fours and have all the toys. That's what the comments are going to say, and that's how they all sound. That's my generic commenter voice. Okay, let's go. Come on.
Alrighty. It's time for... And it
oh
is,
God, that was loud.
And it is epic this week.
It is. It is all epic all the time. I started jizzing everywhere. That's TMI.
It kind of is. I don't really need to know that.
Two epic Toku episodes, RPM, and two Todds? How better can it get?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So what, let's see. What was I doing? Oh, right. So we're on episode...
What was I doing?
Where am I?
Episode 21. Last week was Ginger Man. The tribute, not the show. That would have been weird. And it starts off on the ship, and Marvelous is, like, yelling at Navi, give me a treasure prediction! And he's like, it's my day off! He's like, I don't care! And they're like, okay, you need to calm down, sir. And then in walks Chifu from the Bokengers, and they're like, whoa!
Oh,
and he's like, hey, I need you guys to help me find a precious. And it's the Heart of Hades, and it does stuff. And they're like, no. And Doc's like, but he gave us that grand power. And Guy's like, give me your autograph. I love you.
Guy's like, me.
He's like, okay. And so he's getting his autograph. And he's like, well, I mean, if you guys can't handle it, that's fine. And Marvel's like, what? No, no, we got this. Let's go. And he's like, haha, gotcha, bitch. And they're like, damn it.
He's like, what? Nothing.
And then, meanwhile, at the same time, the bad guys are also looking for it, and that chick villain has sent her and her, some kind of squad of villains have gone down.
Glad I'm the only one that doesn't know her name.
No, her name is Chick Villain. That's what we're going with.
Okay. Chico Beer.
And, so, where was I?
Yes.
Things were happening. Oh, right, so they go down, and they run into, they're walking through the forest, Lord of the Rings style. And they run into Zangyak, and they're like, oh, damn, look, it's the Zangyak.
Oh, damn.
And Marvelous...
Spy kids, guys.
I know, Marvelous and Milfy go off with Chifu, while the other four stay behind, and they go all... So there's cool fight scene, and they're fighting, and they're like, guys all like, hey, guys, let's do this ninja style. I have to turn this on first. And he said that too. So he pulls out his Shurikenja key and is like, where's the button? Shit. I'm sorry, I forgot how to work the toy for a minute there.
Don't worry, you don't even need the key.
Right, and then the other guys were like,
cheat code.
Kalinja!
Said cock.
And he's like, wait a minute, guys. You guys did Cock Ranger, They're like, you said ninjas. He's like, that was the wrong one, though. Wait. Oh, he gets all sad. And they do some more cool fighting, complete with, like, sound effect words on the screen, MMPR remastered style. Because that's how the Cock Rangers fought. And meanwhile, while all this fun's going on, Milfy and Chifu and Marvelous, they're walking. They flash back to Marvelous doing the same thing with Akka Red, and he sucks. And they find a door they have to get through. And I'm like, oh, let's shoot the ceiling, because that's always good. Have rocks fall on our head. They find some member...
It's only if you're hardcore.
I know, right? They find some member of... They find Scormans with swords in their backs, and they find a member of the Jaryu tribe taking the Heart of Hades and shoving it into Ryuan's dead body. I was like, come back, master! And then Moltor's all like, I'm alive, bitches! And they're like, aw, damn it. So he
sealed
and then leaves. And he comes out the cave, starts attacking everyone, and the chick villain's like, oh, fuck, I'm out of here. She runs away. Meanwhile, the four other Gokaijers are getting their asses pwned. And Chifu gives Marvelous an inspirational talk about the fun of adventures or some crap. I don't know. I stopped paying attention when he got all gay. And they blast their way out, and they show up in the nick of time, like they always do, to save their pals. So they transform again, and they're like... And they roll call, and they fight some more, but... and then Guy's like, all right, guys, do it. And they're like, they do a double final wave. And Ryuan's like, bitch, I got this. Your attack's not anything on me. I got the Heart of Hades, son. And they're like, aw, damn.
He went gangster. He's like Poof in the Fairly Odd Parents movie.
I know. So they all went...
Kevin doesn't even know what I'm talking about.
And they do a full team of six Bokenjers, complete with transformation and the instrumental version of the theme song. And they use the cool weapons, and they manage to, like, trap... they trap Ryuan's arm with the stick? Red's weapon. I don't know what it's called. It's the Boken Lancer.
Drive Lance.
Drive Lance. There it is, Drive Lance, even though that's the wrong word.
Is it Boken Bow? Am I wrong?
Yep. Boken Bow. There we go. Okay. Use Boken
Bow.
It's
the guy's name.
And
Boken Quit.
Guy
Boken Asa.
The Dual Crusher. And cements Ryuan's feet, and then Marvelous is like, he calls him like, oh, Boken Shot. He's like, we're not adventurers. We're pirates, motherfucker. We take what we want. Reaches into Ryuan's chest, rips out the Heart of Hades like a beast, and like throws it to Chifu. He's like, good job. And then they're like, hey, we need to finish him. And Guy's like, I got this.
Yay, unnecessary scene.
What?
This whole scene was unnecessary just to pimp out the gold mode.
It was. And
he's thrown. God.
And he does the Gokai legend dream, and Ryuan falls over, but he doesn't die. He just grows large. And they summon Goju Rex and Gokaio. Deka Gokaio doesn't work, so Guy's like, hey, Dragon Zord, Tail Drill, Tyranno, whatever, use your ice breath. And he's like,
ice beam.
And then they're like, Magi Legend Gokai Bind thing. And that didn't work either. That's the phrase they used too. And so they're like, hey, I know, let's use the Bokenger's great power. So they do it, and like, spirit versions of the five, first five Go-Go machines.
With the spirit of a dump truck. Jungle Fury Dump Truck Ranger.
Pretty much. They form a ghost version of Dai Boken, who pwns him with a sword, and then it turns into the Go-Go Ken, which is the sword. And then they use it to do the Daibo Ken's final attack and destroy Ryuan. And then they have happy fun time and leave. And Chifu walks away with the precious in a box.
That's actually his key box.
And then it ends. That was a fun episode. Chifu was awesome. I love Chifu. And the Boken final power was a little weird, but it was kind of cool. I got to see that Boken, sort of.
And I thought it was cool.
It was. It was cool having Ryuan back, too. I enjoyed that. But what else? It was a pretty good tribute episode. I enjoyed it. And I'll just let you guys talk now.
Okay. I really loved it. Like, it was a perfect tribute to Bokenger with, like, the whole adventure thing, and the whole setting in the forest reminded me a lot of Bokenger episodes where they're just walking around in the forest looking for something. And, yeah. Like, I loved having Chief back because he was my second favorite because I like Edgy better, but he's one of my favorites. And I liked, like I said, I liked their finisher with the final power. I thought it was cool the way they would use the machines and then the way they, like, mimicked their final slash. And it was awesome having a villain back from that show. Like, I don't think they'll do it every episode or hope they do because I want them to change it up, but I'd like to see a few more villains from different series come back. Like, that was really cool to see that. Like, I really loved it.
My turn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pretty much agree with what, I mean, both you guys said. Like, I wasn't a huge fan of Bokenger, but I felt like this was an absolutely perfect kind of tribute to Bokenger, while not kind of forcing the tribute down your throat and still giving a lot of attention to the Gokaigers as a whole. And, like, just seeing Ryuan back, like you said, I think it'd be neat if they keep bringing, like, some villains back. And just the fact that he was all, like, damaged and stuff was really cool to me. And Dawson died again.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
And
no,
just the fact that I like Chifu. He's like my favorite character from Bokenger. So. So seeing Chifu was cool.
Yeah, it was.
And then the ninja thing made me laugh too.
Yeah.
He was all depressed.
It's funny. The only thing about that though, is that's going to get old after a while. You're going to do that so many times. So, like, there's only so many groups you can do that with.
Yeah.
Like, you can't keep doing the stupid gag, but it is funny.
So, what's the next tribute?
Go-Go 5.
Is that that next episode, or?
That's two episodes.
Two episodes? Well, the next one's about Joe and some kid, right?
Yeah.
Hooray, hooray. We get the zipper police and... and children.
Yeah, so that's gonna be fun.
Plus, there was a lot of Luca in this episode.
Yeah. Luca's always fun.
Indeed, though. Anyway, moving on to O's.
Let's get on with them O's before they send in the fours.
Let's get to the action.
Yes, let's get into the action. That's what they say, that's what the kids say.
While I get into your mom's sweet pants.
Okay. This summary will hopefully be longer than a minute and 45 seconds.
That's what she said.
It'll be a minute and 55 seconds. Okay. So we open with Dr. Maki and Edgy in the woods.
All right, it's taking too long already.
All right. So what did you guys think of the episode?
It was great.
All right. So anyway, they're in the woods, and Edgy's like, oh, and Dr. Maki's just staring at him, and then he tries to run away. And then we have Birth fighting the Ice Yomi, and he uses Ice Beam, and he's like, lol, you're dead. He's like, lol, no, I have Super Satanaka support. And she comes in and pwns him. So then Edgy's stopped by the forces of the doll. He's like, you shall not pass. That joke provided you by Jedimon. See?
Yes.
So then Dr. Maki exposes himself to Edgy and talks about
it. Oh, God.
He's like, you don't want to have this, do you? And he's like, put that away, man. That's just creepy. So then Goto rescues him, and then he goes...
Plus your dino arm.
Exactly. And Goto rescues him, and then goes to... You threw me off, your ass! Sorry. Anyway, so Goto rescues him.
Threw you off
him,
my ass? Ew.
And then he goes to Hina and Shingles and explains that Edgy is becoming... I'm sorry, Yami. Is becoming a greed, and they're like, oh, man, I just realized he couldn't taste anymore. And then Edgy's eating some raw fish, or it's not raw fish, some cooked fish, and he's like, man, it tastes like gum. I'm like, no, that's just the way it normally tastes. Don't even worry about that. Dr. Maki tells his Yami what to do, and he traps a bunch of people, and he wants them to all call out for O's. And Edgy rushes to the scene, and Hina tries to stop him, saying that he'll become a god. And he's like, no, that's Hibiki, stop. And then he's like, it'll be okay, look, I have to show off Ratorata, we haven't done it in some episodes, I gotta do it, I'm sorry. So he shows up on the scene, and he starts fighting Onklet, who shows up while Birth handles the Yummy. And so he goes Puto Tira. I'm like, oh, I wanted him to stay Ratorata. And so then they start to have an epic battle, and Birth finishes off the cold Yummy or whatever it is, but because it gets really close to his chest, and then his nipples get hard, and it just goes right through him, and he's forced to kill him. So that's how that went down. So Onklet and Puto Tier have this absolutely epic battle in the sky, and he just beats the living shit out of him, and then takes him to the ground and slashes him to death, killing three of his cores, and he's like, you're not Onklin anymore, you're Deadlit. Joke also provided by Jedimon 2005.
Yes!
So then Edgy kind of like stumbles off, and he's like, I think he's turning into an old man, and then Hina grabs his hand, and he's all fine again, and regular Ankh reforms, and him and Shingles come face to face, and he's like, who do you think you are? He's like, I'm Todd Manning. I mean, Ankh. And then they face off, and it's all dramatic, and then it ends. Is that long enough?
I think so.
Sure.
Okay. It was an absolutely epic episode of O's. I even dare to say it might be my favorite, just because it was so dramatic and good. Like, the fight between Ankhlet and Edgy was, like, really epic, especially with, like, the airborne shit, even though the wings on the back of his head still looks a little funny. But I do feel still that the whole Ankh story, they kind of dropped the ball on it. I feel like they could have done so much better with it. And it did feel, like, rather quick that he died. I thought they were going to go at least a few episodes, like, with Ankh, you know, struggling for control. But they're going in some kind of different direction now, I guess.
It's kind of like the whole Ghost of the Night becoming Dark Ghost of the Night thing. It's like, oh, good, look how it's happened. And all of a sudden, like 2 episodes later, well, he's alive again.
Pretty much. That's what I was going to say. Oh, I love how Dr. Maki elaborated on what it's like being aggrieved. And like it really gave you a sense of like their motivations behind like the villains.
Oh, fucked up their existences.
Yeah, and like how it kind of, it made really good sense, like the way their existence is and how Dr. Maki is trying to use their like desire to have no desire or whatever to for the end of the world, and it made a lot of sense. But like Lost, always has so many questions that I just forgot what my questions are. But yeah, it was a really just great episode. It's interesting that they destroyed three core metals, so we're never going to get a complete Ankh figure art.
And it was Ataka, Kujaku, and Bata, so it was one of each.
Yeah, and
that's two, Bata, I mean Condor.
Yeah, but it made sense in my head since I call Tora Taka, so don't even worry about it.
And you call the memories and everything else, so it's all good in the hood.
But yeah, it was just so good. Like, I love seeing Ankhlet get killed, and I'm glad he's gone. And I like that, like, my theory behind, it was probably a lot of people's theory, but behind Ankh just taking his old form once he becomes completed again. And I love seeing the two of them face off. It was like the Todds, but not as epic. Seriously, the Todds was some epic shit. Anyway, it was a really great episode, and I hope the last episodes bring some sort of closure.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. Like, and then having Rotor Todd do something was cool, and it was kind of epic we did with the ice thing. And I really enjoyed Birth again. Just Goto is a fantastic Birth. I don't know how many times we can say that. Like, he just gets the yummy and like he's on top of him and he's like, all right, you know what, fuck this, breast cannon, cell burst, psh, blast through him, like right up against him. He's like, ha, take
hard
that
nipple.
And then like he gets frozen at the beginning of the episode and he's like, well, it's about time my supervisor arrives. And you just like epic music. And then in comes Satanaka, like slow walking in her outfit and just like blasts the yummy. And you're like, oh, can you come into my house in that outfit? That'd be great. Thank you.
I also love the part where Cake Boss is just going crazy and like overpouring his wine.
Cake Boss goes crazy like a lot lately, but it's hilarious because it's Cake
Whenever
Boss.
Whenever I see him drinking wine, I always remember Pegasus. Because he's like, oh, this is my favorite juice in my comic. I'm like, lol.
Oh, yeah.
Stop. Just like, you put your fingers
boy.
Don't shoot. Don't shoot with your finger, you bastard. When I'm watching that scene, though, I totally forgot that, like, we had all these rumors before about Kogami's, like, agenda. I totally forgot about that. Because I remember, like, they like, wanted him to be a vessel or something. And
man, I forgot he had an agenda for a while there.
Like, he was just sitting there, like, oh! And having a yellow suit. And I don't know. Like, I forgot about that.
He was all happy birthday, and then you're like, "Hi, he's funny." But yeah, it was really good. I'm glad to see that Ankhlet is no more, and I enjoyed when Ankh, like, first the hand reforms, then the rest forms it into like possessed Shingles, and that was cool.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, I'm a little bit confused because like he took the form of Shingles, but then supposedly next episode he takes over Shingles again.
Oh, you know what? Well, I guess it might not be a great explanation, but do you remember how he was talking about, like, that's why Ankh liked the body so he could taste popsicles? Maybe he wants the body for that reason. So he can taste stuff?
That'd be funny.
Like, I forgot about how much I liked that explanation. Like, it made the popsicles make sense. Something that's been happening since, like, episode one makes sense. It was kind of nice.
Yeah. But it was really cool. And then Dr. Maki's, like, greed arm thing, and then the doll. And, like, when the doll fell over and he was... That like, sound hey! He made... I know, like, it was hilarious. Like, he's all greed arm and freaking out at the same time. Oh, God.
Oh!
But I agree with what you guys said, pretty much. I thought it was... What?
I gotta send the message. Where do you get all of your toys?
Casey Grunt.
And no, I'm not gonna tomorrow review the Billy the Rod because I'm not going straight up from the factory. God, don't have it, you bastards. I'm sorry.
Break out in tears?
D-bags.
Continue, Brian. Just got turbo pun by those.
No, that's okay. Like, I mean, you guys said pretty much everything, so...
Pretty much.
Plus, Brian's a...
I don't really have too much to add, but I thought it was a fantastic episode, considering, like, it's been pretty dull.
Yeah.
Past couple episodes.
Like, I'm hoping he gets some kind of direction, because it's been all over the place lately.
Well, I was sitting there, and he's brought to our top, and Anklet shows up, and... I love it. He's like, give me my core. And Edgy's like, it's not your core. It's his, bitch. Yeah. Like, the purple metal...
It was just scripted and everything so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, the purple metal shootout, like, he slams him in the belt. The yellow ones burst out. I'm like, pick those up before Kizari shows up.
I thought about that. I was like, what happened to them? Like, they eject and, like, they magically, like, go back into the thing.
I'm like, oh, God, what if Kizari shows up? Pick him up, please.
I did forget to mention, I like how Dr. Maki at the beginning of the episode was like, you think you could just keep ignoring this? Like, because we've been complaining for like 10 episodes that they just ignore these dangerous metals and Edgy. Like, he's like, seriously, what the hell, man? You just don't even care.
Don't even care, man.
He's like, no, it's K. And Hina was all surprised, like, wait, he can't taste? But he was all acting like my food tastes good.
I thought something was suspicious when he said it tasted good.
Yeah, really.
Since Shingles beat me that night for its terribleness.
Righto.
Silence.
Righto.
Why is this hand cold and this one isn't? Okay. Sorry.
Because you're turning into a greed.
Oh, fuck! Quit, get me a popsicle!
I was thinking about it because it's funny because I can't smell.
So. I have one in my pants.
So. I'm turning into a greed.
Oh, God, I'm turning into a greed.
Next time you have a doctor's appointment, you'd be like, yeah, I can't smell anything. Am I turning into a greed? What? Can you x-ray me, see if there's any core metals in there?
Purposely, like, try to swallow one before you go.
That would be pretty funny. It's like a Jackass stunt. Look, and they found that toy car. That was epic. Except not.
It was in his butt.
How'd that get there? I don't know. I didn't put it there.
It was in his butt.
Okay.
That's where I keep my toy cars.
So are you ready to get in gear?
I'm ready to get in a lot of things.
Okay, so it's time for not really the last edition, but the last editions of the PR edition of Retrospective Ranger Rambles.
The last time the word ranger makes sense, so...
What's all Sentai?
Somewhat.
And next week is pretty much going to be loose... Well, not loosely based. It's going to be the same thing. I'll just shut the fuck up now.
It's going to be loose?
So, the way the summary is going to work is... Because of the nature of RPM, like, revealing major plot points and, like, the origins later, I'm just going to tell it from the pseudo-beginning of everything. So, anyway... So basically, everything sets up from the beginning with this little girl who's like a genius, who all we know her by is K, is abducted by Alphabet Soup, a government organization, and she's forced to work on all these projects for him for years and years until she can't even remember her own name. And she's assigned to work on Project Ranger with Gem and Gemma, these two crazy-ass mofos. And so she is told she can't go outside because she's allergic to sunlight. So she believes them, but then one day she follows a butterfly. I don't know why this place isn't secure and she's just allowed to wander around. But anyway, she sees sunlight and sees she's not allergic to it. So she decides to make a virus to get out. But the virus is so powerful and self-aware that she didn't get to install the firewall. So it spread throughout the whole world and killed everyone. So she escaped with the Ranger Series tech to Corinth City, and she eventually recruited Scott, Summer, and Flynn, who were all important in the battle before they all went into Corinth. They are later joined by Dylan, who is a brooding badass who is like half robot, and Ziggy, who's just crazy awesome. And so they defend Corinth while also trying to figure out Dylan's past. The first major thing that happens is that Dylan is mistakenly sent out into the wasteland where they encounter Jem and Gemma, who were fighting a rogue battle as Gold and Silver. And so after that, they're reunited with Dr. K and they join the team. Dylan later finds out that he has a sister and begins searching for her in all these different places. It eventually leads him to find out that it is Tenaya Seven, who is one of the major villains that they fought. Just like Astronema, he eventually convinces her to be good, and she helps them out, but is kidnapped and reformatted into Tenaya 15. While all this is going on, the Vengix virus is growing in Dylan, to eventually a point where it's about to take over. And they eventually discover that there is a ton of hybrids throughout the city, all ready to be activated. And after Kilobyte messes things up, Vengix is forced to activate all of them. So he activates all the hybrids, including Dylan. But luckily, he has an antidote that saves things just in the nick of time. So, and he uses the cure on Tenaya as well, and she comes back to the side of good. So after Gem and Gemma are seemingly deleted, the Rangers go up against Vengix while Tenaya implants a virus into O's. And Vengix. And so after the virus...
Oh my planet, god!
No! Do not interrupt my summary with the comments. It is almost done.
Sorry.
Anyway, so after they allowed to morph again because of the virus, the Rangers defeat Vengix and the world is saved. And Scott leads Eagle Squad along with Gem and Gemma. Summer, Dylan, and Tenaya all go off and to find a better world. And Ziggy and Dr. K are going to open a school where they teach people about things. And the last shot is of them seeing like the flower from the beginning of the show into a whole like meadow with mountains, and they're like, it's like a whole new world. And then I thought it was from Lost Galaxy on Twitter.
A whole new world.
Seriously, when Jeff tweeted that, that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, no, it can't be that. Why would he be asking Key for that?
Aladdin?
Yeah. Like, and then I was like, wait, maybe it's Lost Galaxy. And then I saw his comment like right after that. I'm like, I'm stupid. Anyway. So, story time. Oh, okay. Brian, go ahead.
Grinder.
Z. Talk like an alien. Oh, s'il vous plaît. Slaps Josh.
I'm so, touching you.
This had probably one of, for the most part, like, the most coherent story of, like, any PR season.
Ever. And, combined.
Like, this is what we're talking about with, like, how it started, where everything was kind of happening already. But it spent, like, the entire first 10 or so episodes just going through, like, setting up the main plot and then going through the backstory of, like, virtually everyone in the show. And I thought that was handled so well. And it
really
probably
was.
Got the most backstory out of, like, any Ranger team ever.
Yeah.
I concur, good sir. Shut
up, you. I loved RPM, like, because you look at what they had to work with, and it, which was, like, goofy-ass Goanger, which, don't get me wrong, I like Goanger. But they took it, and they turned it into something, like, completely different. I mean, talk about using your source footage for fun and games. Like, they just... how to describe how cool it was, what they did with it. Like
I love that they just said, fuck you, Sentai, threw it onto the ground and just made their own story. And like when Saban tried to do that, they're like, oh, there's a float, and then they destroy it and they're like, pow. like it's just, I can't even believe they did that. Like, of all the seasons I didn't even think of any of the seasons previously could be a post apocalyptic theme, but Goanger? Really?
Like, yeah, out of all, like, I mean, that does cause a couple problems that we'll talk about when we get into the suits and stuff, but like, I mean, out of all the seasons to use for a post-apocalyptic setting, they pick Goanger.
Like, I'll get into that sort of rant about that next time, but that's what it should be like, is it should be its own show now and have its own identity, and with its budget, it really doesn't need to rely on the footage so heavily anymore.
Like, and with this, like, they really didn't do a lot of footage relying on. I mean,
they filmed a lot of their own footage this season.
Yeah, like, most of the footage that was from Goandru was in the second half, really. But there wasn't even hardly any.
With the way Vengix was set up, like, 99% of villain stuff was new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the Ranger stuff was new. So they didn't really use a whole lot of footage at all. And there was a lot of...
And I mean, anything with Tanai in it was automatically American.
Well, and you know, it's funny because when they used any fight footage, it was always like no more than a minute. Like they would use like 4 seconds of the Rangers getting picked up with something, and then it would immediately revert to regular footage. Like, I don't know why they would do that, but the effects, I guess. But it was such short spurts. And like even in the Zords, I noticed quite a bit of original cockpit footage so that they're like... body language fit the situation instead of like the Goandrus just being crazy, like Teletubbies, like whatever the Goandrus did.
And they found ways to get around like the engines talking and speaking and
Like, I mean, the only like weird Zord footage that I remember seeing is like Yellow's Zord like chomping on things.
See, that never really bothered me and compared to the others because it looked like it was just bouncing.
And Croc Carrier. Blinking. that was about the extent of the weird Zord footage, and it wasn't that bad.
And see, the thing is that, at least is my theory, that you don't notice it if you're not looking for it, because I was looking for it.
I wouldn't have noticed it. I just glanced out of the corner of my eye, and I seen it blinking. I'm like, oh, okay.
And then on top of that, and something we'll discuss when we get to characters, but a lot of times when they write the story, they take the characters and they make them not exactly the same, but pretty damn close.
Yeah.
Here, I mean,
Wild Force.
they made them like pretty much the exact opposite for the most part.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, Ziggy was still goofy, just like Honda.
Honda was like, "Hey, look, I might be a girl, Goofy."
But the rest of them were like total opposite, and so like I know people bitch about Jem and Gemma, which we'll talk about them, you know, in characters. But like the fact that they did that, and so then which also made them have to make a lot of their own footage.
Yeah,
because you can't have serious Scott and then goofy Sosuke and put the two together, like Casey and John, and make it work, or you know,
John,
Tommy and Kiba Ranger.
Oh god, I never realized that. I feel stupid now. That's awesome.
You know, or like Tommy and Kiba Ranger. They don't work together.
Yeah.
But so they did their own thing, and it was really good. Or like using Hira Mechamedes and Yogastein's dad. I can't say his name.
It's like
Vengix forms instead of like as a separate villain.
Yogo Stein's dad.
Like, first I was like, why isn't this like? Because at first I get all angry for whatever reason. Like, why isn't this another separate person? But then I'm like, well, this is pretty cool. I like this.
Well, and you know, like, there's a lot of kind of weird bots because of Goandru. But it was one of those things where I found myself like justifying a lot of things, even though it's not the show's doing because they're the suits from Goandru. But it sort of made sense since Vengix is like a computer that he has access to like all the world's information, that he would use like basic things to make bots, like windshield cleaner or whatever. Like,
or also you could also think of it as like he was just trying to find a way to get inside the city and get them, or trying to find just what would work. So how to improve the bots in different ways to make himself a cool body.
Yeah.
So, like, there's ways to justify it so it doesn't look like Vengix is just retardedly insane. I mean, more so than he already is.
Like, but just going back to the overall plot, like, I never thought we would see a post-apocalyptic PR. It was just so good.
And like, it didn't even come off as like ripping off post-apocalyptic things all that much. Like it came off like
it
really
didn't,
at least.
It didn't, because like a lot of the battle took place within Corinth. So,
like, just thinking about that, because it's mentioned a few times or focused on, but that's the last goddamn city on Earth. Those are the last people.
Yeah,
like it's just crazy
like,
to
you
think
know,
about
you
that.
Had,
in
like
PR.
A couple rebel groups somewhere.
Yeah,
and then like the prisoners, but that's the last functioning city.
Yeah, like, that's just crazy to think.
I mean, it's run by Zeltrax.
And it's just like, it was such a great tone because it felt so fresh. Like, PR was actually being taken seriously. Like, it felt like where it should be, like, gradually as it evolved. And it felt like a primetime adaptation. I hate to say it because everyone says it, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, it was made from just, it was just so good. And, like, the lighting and stuff was really good, the way they made everything seem really bleak, especially outside the city.
Yeah. My complaint with the show is the time slot.
4 a.m., really?
It was on at noon here, so I was fortunate.
And then I also liked, it's just a small detail because I have no idea where to include this, but when they would show like an overview of the city, like you saw the sky, but then you could see the outline of like the city grid.
Yeah.
To keep it like in perspective. I thought that was a nice touch. They didn't have to do that. They didn't have to make the show awesome, but they did.
There was a lot of really cool things in this show. Like, I look at it and I go, you look at it, you think, okay, they probably like went all out in a lot of ways because like it's gonna be our last show, and then you just think, why the fuck couldn't you do this before? Yeah. What was stopping them from doing this before, making an original story? Not that some of the other shows weren't good, but from just using less source footage or making the characters not Sentai copies. And what was stopping them? Nothing but laziness. That's
exactly. And you know what I was happening to think of is that we talked about this in the last two of how they only have half the footage when they start and they have to wait and find out how everything goes. Because they just like said fuck Sentai and threw it into the ground, they're like, fuck that, we're gonna make our own story and the footage is gonna fit for what we want no matter what. Like, I love that they just didn't give a shit about how the footage went. If it didn't work, they would just make their own. Like, they should just do that all the time and just make their own story and not wait to see how Sentai's footage goes.
Exactly. Like, I don't know. I don't know what more we can say about
it. I don't know. It's just so awesome. It blew our minds. Our brains were just fried.
It blew my penis, so I don't know about you, but... so, I don't know what more we can say about that. Maybe we can move on to characters or something.
Yeah, I feel like we're just going to keep writing about the same shit if we don't move on.
Do we want to talk about, like, the writer change and, like, what the original plans might have been at all? Or do you want to save that for later?
Save that for later.
Okay, I just wasn't sure where to fit it.
Alright, so characters. We'll start with Scott, since he's the red.
Ranger Operator Series Red. Oh, I have to say, I don't know if that fits him, but I love that they called him that.
Yeah, it was so awesome, funny.
I just love that. Like, it was great, instead of just saying, Holly, Red Ranger, it was Ranger Operator Series.
Like, once again, it was one of those things that, like, at first I was like, this is stupid, I don't like this, because I'm just that kind of a person. But then after the first few episodes, like, I kind of got used to it.
Like, speaking of episodes, since, I mean, that probably kind of has to do with story, and I forgot to mention it. Like, there wasn't any real bad episodes.
There wasn't?
No, yeah.
Even, like, the clip show was great because it actually had part of, like, Dylan and Ziggy's story and everything going into it. And, like, it wasn't overly, like, thorough with, like, oh, this is every detail that happened. It just felt more natural.
Like, the worst episode was probably End Action just because it wasn't an episode.
Yeah, but it was still a fun behind-the-scenes thing.
Yeah, like, it would have been, like, a great, like, DVD bonus.
Yeah,
but the fact that it took up one of the episode slots made me angry, but I really liked it.
Yeah.
It just made me angry that it took up one of the episode slots.
Yeah, I really wish it could have been longer. And they set it up so good for a sequel, too.
Yeah. All right, so now moving on to characters, and now moving on to Scott, because none of the episodes were bad for me to point out.
He's Scott-ish. Get it?
I thought about that when Flint said it, I'm like... That must be awkward.
And Scott's like, what? Somebody call my name? Like, Kevin was like, oh, that's awesome. What?
And it's like, you're like Scott? You're nothing like Scott. What are you talking about, Flynn? You're crazy.
Your hair doesn't look like little spray-painted coils. What are you talking about?
All right, so...
Scott was black.
Scott-ish.
Scott.
It's hard to describe these characters because they were so dynamic.
Like, dynamic. I'll say this to start. Like, when the show first started, maybe the first two episodes or so, like, I didn't care for Scott, like, right at the beginning. Maybe it's just because, like, I usually hate that, like, typical, like, oh, by the book, I'm an ass face, like,
yeah,
Carter.
No, I agree completely.
But, like, as his character developed, I really, really liked him. Like, he just got such great development with, like, it's like a classic story of, like, his brother like dying and him being like the second favorite, but it was just, he was so well developed and he had so many great moments. Like, and we'll talk about how much of a badass Dylan is, but Scott had a lot of badass moments in his own right.
I kind of liked when he gave up the medal.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like that was like, I mean, it wasn't a turning point, but like it just showed how much he grew up.
Yeah.
Because he spent the whole show being like, I want my daddy to like me.
And then finally does. And
giving credit to his actor, he did a lot of his own stunts. Like, he did his epic, like, signature scissor kick where he, like, stood on his head and kicked the shit out of people. And, like, that was epic shit. I'm like, see, Najee, that's what you need to do. Like, you need to start breakdancing there on some grinders. That sounded gross.
At least you didn't say scissoring with some grinders.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
But I don't know. I ended up really liking Scott.
He probably actually ranks high on my, like, all the Rangers I'm going to find that they rank really high on my list of favorite in that color category just because they were so well developed.
Yeah.
Like, he was just a really good character. And
yeah, he was.
I love, it sounds kind of bad.
He was a good leader. Like, he was.
It sounds kind of bad, but I like that they kept his brother dead.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, like, I hate
how
they're like,
from that.
Oh, look.
He fucking exploded.
Like, I'm glad at the end they're like, oh, Flurious had him the whole time. Like, wait, what? When did Flurious get here? Like, but I love that they kept that. And he did a really good acting job. And without, I just don't want to repeat myself too much, but he was just really cool.
Yeah, he was great.
Like, and he was perfect for a Red, for, like, leading a squad, basically.
Yeah,
he was a good leader. He wasn't, like, retarded. He wasn't, like, entirely a douchebag. He's fun. He's fun times in my diaper.
Typing? Sorry.
Alright, so Flynn?
He's
Flynn,
Scottish!
Flynn was Scottish. He was the best! Flynn was fucking awesome.
And he wasn't like everyone's mother in cooking and being a woman.
Like Ren Stevens from Go Andre.
He just wanted his goddamn smoothie.
I know, he was like, every time! Like, he was just like, oh, he was so awesome. Like, and I loved that backstory of, like, him always wanting to be a hero and, like, them showing some, like, realisms of certain professions, like, when he arrested the mayor's son or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was just a great story, and then he finally became a Ranger, and just, that I'm Scottish line is one of my all-time favorite moments in PR, just because of how awesome it is.
So what are you? I'm Scottish! And punches her.
That was just awesome. And I loved, like, that whole thing in general where she, like, broke down the Ranger archetypes in, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah. Like, they did that a lot with just breaking down the entire show repeatedly.
Since it was in Flynn's episode, like, the entire thing in Ranger Blue. Mm-hmm. At the beginning.
That's his color. I'm sorry.
When they were talking about, like, the googly anime eyes and the explosions.
Oh, that was fantastic.
The show was just the
energy runoff.
Like, it was great. Like, I love the fact that they addressed the googly eyes. Like, they knew people thought it would be weird. Like,
yeah.
And it was, like, poking fun of itself while trying to give a serious explanation for it, which pretty much made sense.
Yeah.
Like, I think I almost died laughing because they were just like, so what about those explosions behind us? What explosion?
There it is, right there! Like, and the fact that Flynn used it to, like, destroy the bot was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I loved it.
And he's like, do we have to yell out APRIEM, get in gear? And then I just turn into a different total accent, like Russian. But, like, and I like how they said, yeah, it's a voice command code. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they used it the whole time. Last 3 episodes, totally just pushed the button. I'm like, damn it, that's because they changed writers, but still. Like, I loved that. And I love Dr. K's rant whenever someone would call it spandex, especially to the little kid.
Yeah.
Like, freaked out on him. Like, I need
spandex.
To go.
I'm like, it's a little kid. Calm down.
I need to write that down because whenever someone, like, laughs at me for liking PR and Sentai, I'd be like, oh, them guys in spandex. I'm like, it is not spandex. It is the energetic biofield. Just, like, going on a really nerdy tangent.
Oh, speaking of, they each had their own abilities in suit.
Yeah, I like that, too. That was pretty neat.
Like, it was definitely different than, like, we all have cool, stupid civilian powers. Like, all right.
I'm the car. I hate civilian powers and any changes from the Saban era. That was my Linkara impersonation. I'm sorry I insulted your dad. Sound out.
I know you guys wear the same hat.
Shouldn't insult Stoned Out Death. I know it's one of our loyal employee supporter people. Our minions.
Supporter people. He's like our go-to to our date. Anyway, back to Flynn.
I really liked Flynn. I don't have like a huge reason to like
God.
Flynn, but like he was just like, really fun.
Like aside, I guess you could say from Gemma to an extent, and probably out of the main people, he got the least development, but he was like one of the most memorable because of his personality, and then just Ranger Blue in general. Mm-hmm. Like, because everyone else had multiple episodes where they focused on him, and he really only had Ranger Blue, and then the episode where he was crushing on Gemma. And like, it was just great. You know, I don't want to like repeat myself again too much. Yeah. Sorry, I'm so.
And his power was really good too.
Yeah, the 10-second time burst.
Yeah.
Is it summertime?
Yeah.
Brian knows
some,
all.
I know it's summertime here.
Speaking of hot, summer was.
She but... was, and she also helped Eddie in his $1 million cook-off.
Which was just RPM. Saying.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot about that. I clapped.
Ha! Anyway. I got your word, you bastard. Sorry.
That was weird.
Anyway,
we were just talking.
Summer. Okay, Summer's backstory, while I like the backstory, made me not like her at first because I hate those people. Like, oh! And I'm like, God, shut up. And then, like, she developed throughout that episode so much that, I ended up liking her character even though she was kind of, like, good at everything.
Yeah.
She wasn't really bad at much of anything.
But see, like, they showed, like, in her backstory that she had all these, like, classes and training, so it made sense.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like, hey, look, it's a random-ass person from the street that just happens to know kung fu and how to drive a motorcycle. Like, because that's pretty much how all PR is. Like, there's no reason why they should know kung fu. I mean, do they
and
all
she
have
had that butler?
Oh, yeah. Andrews was the shit. He was totally...
Andrews was pretty awesome.
He was. Yes, Miss Summer. Ron's like, if you say Miss Summer one more time, I'm going to pop you, bitch. I heard him say it. Poor Andrews. That's how he actually died. Brian just popped him over the head.
Mm-hmm. Said
Miss Summer 20 times.
But
she honestly, like, she might be my favorite yellow just because of how well she was developed. Like,
she was definitely one of my favorite in a while. And I like the whole thing, like, she had going on with Dylan.
Yeah.
Like,
fun fact,
fantastic.
Based on the interview with Dan Ewing, he said that they actually filmed a take where they kissed in that one scene.
He was like, that's bullshit. Oh, that's something different.
That's bullshit. We'll get to that later.
I ended up liking Summer.
Like, I know that when we talked about this when we were watching it, you said it was kind of, like, abrupt, which her change. I totally agree. But, like, they didn't have enough time, really.
Yeah, and, like, you don't know how long she was actually out there.
Yeah.
Because they traveled a fair distance. It could have been a couple days.
Uh-huh.
And a couple days can change you a lot if you're stuck in the middle of a vast desert with a bunch of robots coming at you.
Yeah. And, like, because the fact they didn't have much time, like, I totally respected the character idea they were going for. So I knew that if they had more time, they probably would have stretched it a little bit. And, like, the fact that she was out there alone and no one helped her made sense that she would want to help Scott because no one wanted to help him. Like, fuck that shit, man. I don't want to get killed. Like, you guys suck with your little Russian hats. What is that little thing? You have a tent that comes down over your ears? What's up with you?
But anyway. And she was a really good female ranger, and she was a big departure from Saki, who was all like, smile, dude. And I was like, hey, you need to stop that right now. Like, seriously, that's annoying. But Summer was all like, let's kick ass, bitches. And like, yes, let's do that. And then she was all like, I love you, Dylan. And I'm like, let's do that, too. I love Dylan, too.
Okay. This is Ziggy time?
Ziggy time.
Oh, this is always Ziggy time.
According to some of our viewers, it's Iggy.
It is always Ziggy time.
I love Ziggy.
Ziggy... As much as I like Bridge, and Bridge is still one of my favorites just because he was vastly, like, intelligent, too, Ziggy is the best in comedy you could possibly get ever.
He really is.
And like, when he played off, really anyone, but, like, Dr. K or, like, Dylan, it was, like, hilarious.
They made a really great duo.
Yeah.
Because Kiefer, I'm sorry, your posts are so epic, we just can't even read them because they're so long. But I like to include little things I read from him. He was really right when he said this season had the best, like, sarcastical humor.
Yeah,
cumin.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Like, it was more sarcastic and subtle, and Ziggy came with a lot of that, which I thought was great. Oh, God.
Make shadow puppets.
Shadow puppets are the best civilian power ever. I challenge you to find a better civilian power than shadow puppets.
I just like how, like, he wasn't supposed to be a ranger.
Yeah, like, I love that. And, like, he didn't want to. He's like, oh, fuck, I just morphed.
He's like, I don't want to be a Power Ranger.
I think Dr. K was all pissed off. Take that off right now. I can't.
And Omnitrix is stuck. No, there's a code. It's Omnitrix 0 command code 00010. No, I'm kidding. Anyway. Brian saw that, so didn't you?
But he was funny. Like, and it was great because, like, the way the suits are designed, like, green and black go together, especially like if you see Goanger and we're with the Zords or whatever, green and black go together. So him and Dylan paired
is
up.
Is he roboting for you or is it just me?
Just you.
Okay, just check.
So him and Dylan, like, paired up together was just, like, fantastic. It was always hilarious.
Yeah.
And having them meet in the first episode, and so the show starts off with them together, was just like, I don't know, it was fantastic. And then his backstory with, like, it's running in with, like, the mob, but then it turns out, like, he's just trying to help sick kids or something. You're like, oh, well, that's nice.
And, like, he was the first ranger to ever actually be a criminal, which was great, because he was like, oh, I was in prison before and I learned how to cook.
Yeah. Where'd, like, you learn to cook? Prison?
Like, that's such a great, like, dark thing that RPM has. They were the first ones to ever have rangers that have been in prison. And going along with that whole thing briefly about him being
butt-raped.
Oh, God. Not supposed to be a ranger. I love how he never really learned how to fight.
Yeah.
Like, you saw a gradual change, like, he got better, but he never really was that good. Like, that's one thing I like about Gokai Green is I love, like, the funny fight.
I was about to say that. It's kind of like Gokai Green.
Yeah, like, when he turns into Ziggy in the American version, whatever they do, it'll make perfect sense. But, like, especially, like, I remember one part in that episode where they were fighting that playground, and he just, like, hoists himself up and just, like, kicks the shit out of a grinder until it falls. Like, he just, like, ah! Like, just die.
And, like, he actually, like, legitimately cared about Dr. K, so.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that relationship.
Like, it was, like, so, like, weird that it worked.
Yeah.
I know, like, it was, which is great. He's so awesome. He needs to come back. Him and he just needs to team up with RJ and have his own show.
Oh,
needs to be called RPM and RJ forever.
That would be fantastic.
But yeah, I think Ziggy definitely brought something to the show that PR never really had in such a, like, large quantity. And it offset everything so well that it was just really good.
Silence.
Okay.
I love the Ziggies.
He's the best. He's going to open a school and teach kids about cooking now. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alright, so on to the Durins.
Fine, I'm mine for silence.
The Durins. Durin.
Durin?
Durin.
Yeah. Me hard
Dylan
in my pants.
Durin. Dylan's fucking awesome.
I don't even
Dylan's,
know where to start
Dylan's
with Dylan. Like, Dylan is so
Dylan,
fantastic.
Dylan, not Deerin.
We haven't. Yeah, see, the thought of Dylan just makes me, like,
go crazy. He gets weak in the knees. His knees turn into butter.
Like, I want to know how they went about finding him. Like, finding Dan Ewing, because whoever did that, like,
is a hero.
Deserves extra money. Like, it's
like, how badass is the, like, Black Ranger? Do you have any advice for all your fans? No. Like, what a badass.
Like, Dylan brought, like, a level of
badassery.
Like, badassery, mystery, and just kind of all around awesome that we haven't had in the show. Like, RJ was, like, bled awesome, but he was a different kind of awesome than Dylan was.
Dylan was more like a Wolverine badass Terminator awesome.
Yeah.
Since he pretty much embodies all those characters.
And like, with Dylan, it was all like, you just didn't know. Like, I mean, you kind of had some idea of what his story kind of was, maybe, but you never really knew for sure until they told you.
Yeah, like, it was basically Astronema and Corona again with that.
Right.
But it was different in the fact that, like, they were taken, and they're both never going to get their memories back. And they're both, like, they don't have their memories, they don't have the real names, and they're both half robot now.
Yeah.
And it was handled different, because, like, sure, once he found out who she was, he cared about her, but I felt like he was mainly just searching for her to find out who he was instead of, like, Andros, who had just been, like, tormented with it his whole life. Like, he was mainly just looking for answers in general.
Well, I know, like, it was kind of the same, you know, or, like, at least similar, but it was definitely different enough.
Except Dylan's
where,
a badass.
Well, yeah, it was, and, you know, it's all Andros' fault that we got Carter, so.
How does that work?
Didn't I tell you this? I know I told Brian.
Yeah. No. You mentioned the podcast, I believe.
The actors are like good friends and
oh yeah, I remember that now. Okay.
And he was all like, "You need to go try out for Power Rangers." He's like, "Okay." And then we got Carter.
We both have similar colored hair. Why don't you try out?
It's like, it'd be great for you. And he's like, "I'll do it." And I'm a douchebag. And
I remember
we're like,
that.
"No."
I was trying to think of an in-show reason.
Oh. No. And it was definitely similar, but it was different enough to where, like, you weren't like, oh, damn, they're copying that. And it's like, you get all pissed off. Like, it was definitely really, it was good.
Like, I love the way it turned out and everything, but couldn't help thinking, like, it would have been better if she was his girlfriend instead of his sister.
It would have been probably more interesting.
Like,
I think
it would be more interesting just because it hasn't been done already, and it would have created, like, a huge, like, triangle conflict with Summer, which would have been, if they had more episodes, it would have played out better.
Yeah, it was probably easier with the episode count than making it a sister.
Yeah, but I just kind of felt thinking, like, how I could make it more interesting, and I think if it was his girlfriend, it would have been a lot more interesting.
Yeah,
and
probably.
Because that'd be weird.
It would have made it less Andros Crone.
And also, like, I don't know how, I'm pretty sure they're going to make his sister anyway, but, like, when Judd Lynn came in, I mean, I'm sure they had to keep some things to keep it going so they don't just totally derail the show, but he didn't want to know what Eddie's plans were, which kind of pisses me off. So you don't exactly know the direction they were going to take it in the end with the real ending.
They're going to take it in the end? That's not
cool.
No.
Take it in the end.
Get it?
Oh, God.
But, like, I mean, I know they were probably going to make her his sister still, but, I mean, you know what I mean. Like, it might have been differently handled.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Like, I just can't help but think. Because he's like, in an interview, he's like, "We did that already." I'm like, "Shut up, you nub. You don't know what they were doing. He was making a masterpiece. You quiet your mouth. I don't need your details, Benson."
But yeah, it was. I like Dylan. There's so much. How do you not like Dylan? Like, there's so much to love about him.
I liked how, this is not really about this character himself, but I liked how his fighting style wasn't, like, typical, like, PR acrobatic kung fu. It was really, like, brutal.
Yeah.
Like, he had a lot of, like, really big, brutal punches. Like, the first episode, he's like, "Bitch!" And he pounded the shit out of him.
And he had that car that he was all proud of, even though it's, like, a piece of shit.
It was a badass piece of shit.
It spewed out fire.
Like, Scott,
and
then, well, Scott had his car, and Summer had her motorcycle, and then Dylan had his, whatever you call it.
And Ziggy had the Jungle Karma pizza vehicle. That was the joke provided by Shukun Shinobi.
Bitch and what?
Okay.
One other thing I wanted to say, what was it? Oh, I like how Dylan was the main character, but I never felt like he was overly focused on.
Oh, absolutely.
I felt like everyone got equal attention.
It wasn't, like, RP Dylan, like how we had Mystic for us, lols.
Like,
if I don't say that, I don't have a reason for Dawson to get mad, so.
Like, I'm just sitting here, like, squeezing one of those little stress dolls, like.
Like, the entire beginning, like I said before, the entire beginning of the show was all backstory for the individual characters, so while the overall story was Dylan trying to find his sister, I mean, you still had Scott trying to impress his dad.
Summer trying to bone him.
Yeah, you had that. And then you had, like, Jem and Gemma.
And Ziggy trying to bone Dr.
Ziggy
K.
Ziggy trying to bone Dr. K. And
even
Flynn
though she should probably be in a psychiatrist.
Being
so
awesome.
Psychologist? I don't know. Sorry.
Like, you had all these different plots going on, so it never felt like anyone was getting more attention than anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, I just loved how each person, they had that episode where they just told you all about them.
Yeah.
I am kind of disappointed that, like, I don't know, because the original finale was supposed to be called Ranger Black, that maybe we could have found out who he was before that, like, at least a little bit of background, like, what was he, hobo? just like a construction worker? Like, what was he? Like, it'd just be kind of, I feel like if we would have gotten the original writers or something, we would have found out something about their background other than they were related, she was blind. Because, like, and it kind of keeps the mystery there, which is nice, but we didn't find out about, you know, how he got the Animanium skull. And... Shit, wrong show. Sorry.
So moving along.
That's bullshit.
Let's talk about that too later. It's right. Bullshit. I'm awesome. He needs to come to Morphicon.
Danny Ewing from Morphicon.
Yeah. Seriously. Morphicon 3.
Jim and Jammers?
Jim and Jammers. Who the fuck is them's? Just kidding. They were like, a lot of people hate them, but I really enjoyed them.
I want to say this right now.
Boom Twins.
Okay, so whoever out there has this need to say that Jem and Jemma were abominations of Go On Gold and Go On Silver should probably be hit in the face. They are two completely different sets of characters that in no way can be related other than the fact that they shared the same suit.
And Zords.
That is all that too, but... But, like, you can... Oh, they're an abomination. It's an entirely different show.
Yeah.
Well, here's my thing. Is that you keep saying that they sucked because they were the exact opposite of Hiroto and Miyu. Okay, now, first of all, let me just say, for the record,
I do enjoy...
I do enjoy Hiroto and Miyu. Yumi Sugimoto is always fun, as VZ will tell you. And Hiroto was Kick Hopper from Kabuto. So, you know, they were great. They were fine. But if you're going to sit there and complain because they were the exact opposite, then you need to complain that the others were the exact opposite of the other Go-Angers.
Yeah, because Go-Angers, the main five were goofy and the Go-On Wings were badass. It was the complete opposite in RPM, where the main five were, for the most part, badass and the Go-On Wings were goofy.
And like,
otherwise, you just sound like a hypocrite and an idiot.
People just like idolize Go-On Gold and Go-On Silver so much that when they see those outfits acting weird... Like, mm-hmm. they hate it, and I'm like, well, you can't do that.
Like, I love the Go-On Wings, too, but they're idolized just because, like, personally, I enjoyed Go-Andra, but I can see, like, why it was kind of like a Ghost Ager-esque series where it was really kind of boring until they showed up, and they were kind of like the Ghost Age Knight of Go-Andra, where it was, like, the saving grace a lot of the time. Yeah. So that's why people idolize them, so it's not like it's Geki Ranger.
Like, to me, that kind of complaint is the same kind of complaint as, I'm so pissed because... In Gokaiger, guys got in the focus of the last three episodes, and they've taken the focus off everyone else. And it's like, they always do that with the Sixth Ranger.
And he just got introduced. So
it's like, oh, well, no, well, I just don't, you know, well, Guy just sucks. Well, if you notice, they did it with everyone else. But you didn't complain about them, you just complained about this guy. It's the same kind of complaint. You're overlooking everyone else just because you don't like this one person.
Like, exactly what you said. Like, I feel like people just bitch and complain about it because they don't like him. And the only reason that they can say they don't like them is just because, oh, they're an abomination.
Oh, they're not the Go-On Wing, so I don't like them.
An abomination.
Okay. I'm like, they're I have no doubt that when I watch Go-Andra, I'm going to like the Go-On Wings, but I'm not going to suddenly hate Jemma and Jemma for it. I love Jemma and Jemma.
Like, they finished their sentences.
I know, you said that twice. You said Jemma, Jemma, and Jemma, Jemma.
They're like, let's blow up stuff. I'm like, yes, let's do that.
Boom time. I love that part where Scott's like, all right, we'll triangulate our fire. And then she's like, and then it's boom time. And she smashed his diagram and ran off. I was like, that was awesome.
Like, I know. They were just really good. And then I also liked how they had a backstory with Dr. K.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then when you look at it, they just like with the Go-On Wings, they were the first ones to get their powers.
Yeah, like, they were designed to be this first series operators, which was really
cool.
So
they still kept a little bit of that, from Go-Andra.
And, like, if you look at them, they're really compelling characters. I mean, they're like Dr. K. They were raised there to be these fighters, so they're all, like, obsessed with exploding shit, and they're, like, really psychotic. And they just, like, they're really interesting characters if you think about it.
And, like I said, they're, like, I feel like they're the first clinically insane Rangers.
They are.
Like, these people are not sane in the head.
But you can't be picky when there's only a city of a certain amount left in the world.
Like, these are not the kind of people that Zordon would be like, these should be Rangers. Like,
new
no.
Teenagers with attitude. Wait a minute. These five don't have attitude. I call shenanigans.
These five don't have attitude. They're all goody-goodies.
Look at their clothes. This is ridiculous. Do people really used to dress like this?
I really enjoy them. They're fantastic.
Like, I mean, the twin speak fishing each other's sentences things did get on my nerves, but I mean, as far as like characters as a whole, I thought they were absolutely fantastic.
You know what did kind of bug me about the twin speak thing is it never really felt natural, which just kind of bugged me.
Yeah.
Like, because like I've seen characters like that before where it feels really natural and fluid, but that felt really forced, which is the only real big complaint I have about them.
Yeah, I can see that.
But yeah. And I like how that one episode they have with Gemma and Scott and how like they won't separate and it's kind of creepy and weird. But like if we had a longer season, we could have elaborated more on that.
Yeah, you know, Gemma didn't know what to do without Jem.
It's like, wait a minute. I thought I was only supposed to sleep with my brother.
Well, you're not the Osmonds.
Oh, God. That stupid bitch faking fainting on Dancing with the Stars. Stop being dramatic.
I got you.
She fainted. No, she didn't. That was so fake. Anyway... I always get mad when people mention that. Anyway, the Dino Rangers. No, I'm kidding.
I feel like there's something I want to say about Gem and Gemma that I'm forgetting with.
I'm trying to think. Boom time? I mean, you know, yeah. Yeah, sure. Sure, Miu was better looking than Gemma, but doesn't mean that their Goemons were better.
Sure, Gemma kind of looked like a chipmunk. But whatever. She did, you have to admit. She had a really weird looking face.
Yeah,
and I actually enjoyed the finishing to their sentences part. It was hilarious.
Well, I mean, I got used to it, but
especially because it creeped everyone else out.
I like their civilian suits. They look like pimp pilots. they even had like gold and silver chains to complete it.
I also like how oblivious they were to everything. Like that in that episode where Flim.
Flynn? That's his sister.
Flynn and Gemma were making the road to Tagzord. And she's like, oh, we can make it together. And he's like, without Gem? And she's like, yeah. You're not going to ever finish my sentences, are you? No, why would I do that? I'm like, they're just so oblivious to everything. Particularly at the beginning, they grew quite a bit.
But, like when Scott was mad about the medal, he's like, look at my medal. Did you see my medal? Oh my god, I got a medal. And Scott's like, fuck you, man. He starts crying. Why is he mad? I got a medal. Did you see the medal? It's really funny.
I have to give props to Mike Ginn because he did such a good job as Gem. I follow him on Twitter. He's really funny. But
he seems like a funny guy.
I like him. He was good.
And I liked the relationship with Dr. K, which is, wasn't touched on a lot except for the beginning. But like, I was like, you know, I really don't like you guys. We know. We can still like you.
Alright, so,
No, like wheelchair. You know we hate you. It's okay, you love me. What?
I hate you, I would rip your legs off and throw you in the forest. Man, we're such good friends. I can't get rid of you! That's when Kevin just lost it. And suddenly got potato chips.
Alright,
These are M&M's.
Sorry.
Dr. K.
I don't know.
Probably one of the best mentors that stayed a mentor.
Seriously.
She's like Dr. Maki without a doll.
She's like Dr. Maki, but cooler. Like, Dr. K, honestly, is one of my favorite characters in PR ever. Just because, like, the amount of... like, oh my god, what a great story. Like, one of the darkest and most twisted stories of any character ever. Probably the most. And then there's just silence. Everyone's just in shock of how awesome
Dr. K
was.
Well, I thought you were going to... continue on.
Oh, well, no, yeah. I wanted to give the other people a chance to talk.
Okay.
Because usually poor Kevin's sitting here.
It's one of those things where you sit here and you go, they put this in a kid's show? Good lord.
She couldn't remember her own name and she was in that facility that looked creepy.
I mean, this chick destroyed the entire world. Granted, it was Alphabet Soup's fault for not letting her plug in the goddamn USB and saving the day, but. And keeping your goddamn hostage and not letting her go outside. What the fuck is going outside? I don't understand. But
I know.
And again, it sounds like the government, so... pff.
Pretty much.
Like, it was just... it was awesome. Like,
I know,
the entire backstory was just, like, tragic.
And then I love how they start off thinking she's, like, some guy... and then they get her to come out, and it's like she's like this little short chick, and they're like, "What?"
Yeah, I want to know.
Thought I'd be taller.
I want to know if someone on like the writing staff was a fan of Death Note, because that's exactly what one of the main characters in Death Note was for like the entire first half of the manga.
Was it a computer thing, and then it turned out somebody totally different?
Yeah, like you don't expect it. And
it could be.
I won't say
anything
else, but
there's numerous
But that's
slot nods to everything.
That can be a reference to a lot of things. I mean, I'm sure a lot of shows did the whole. I mean, hell, fucking Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Hell, Zordon. No, I'm kidding.
Zordon. Yeah, he was just laying in the tube.
Animus.
Zordon was really Demetria. So.
Zordon's a cross-dresser. We all know it. He's a cross-dressing asshole. But going back to Dr. K, like, I think, like, she, like Brian said, she killed the whole world. I mean, can you imagine that weighing on you? Like, I remember there was discussions at one point where people were like, oh, they have to tie it back to PR because it's the last season and it's going to end up being Vengeance from Zio and she's going to be totally exempt. I'm like, I'm so glad they didn't do that. They didn't cop out and say that, oh, she really didn't create that powerful of a virus and it was all Vengeance from Forever Red. Like, I'm glad that they kept it like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, at that point, I want to know why they bothered naming him Vengeance.
I think because, like, a lot of things is that they didn't know because it was a total new people doing the show.
Yeah, I want to say it was a nod and not an actual, well, this is the same person.
Like, there is that theory that you mentioned that Vengeance, instead of coming from Shadowborg to RPM, going from RPM to Shadowborg.
Yeah, traveling back in time to the Morphin Grid. And then,
yeah.
That's a stretch. That was just something I read on Ranger Board or something at one point. But
I'm 100% glad they didn't tie it to, like, anything and do that. Like, I liked it being its own thing.
Well, that what I liked was that it was something that, at least for me, I totally did not see coming when they were just like, when she was like, I created the Vengeance virus. What?
Oh, exactly.
I killed everyone. Where in the world are Balkan Skull? They're dead. Because Dr. K killed them by accident.
And then Zotrax is like, arrest her. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. We kind of still need her.
I loved how smart she was when, like, she did the hologram and she was like, see this coming? See this coming? See this coming? He leaves. Thank God. I thought he'd never leave. Like, that was fantastic. I'm like, Dr. K, you are the shit.
I like when she's like, I can make something to just give you explosive diarrhea.
Oh, yeah, that was great, too. She was just such a fantastic character. And the actress was so young and to deliver such a great performance.
Particularly at hiding her accent, she had in normal speed, you can hear it a couple times in action. She has an incredibly thick accent.
Hey, lady. Okay.
And it her voice is a little bit squeakier too, but like she just did such a fantastic job.
Hey, lady.
Oh.
Dylan did the kind of the typical, how do you hide your accent and pretend to be American? You just give him a gruff voice. That's how all American guys sound. That's how House does it.
And she's actually had slight ties to PR before this.
She voiced a monster.
No, she played in this movie called Kids World with Blake Foster.
Oh. that's interesting tidbit.
When she was very, very, very little.
Little
she was
K.
Only 10.
That's back when she was just K. And she actually looked just like that kid from the flashbacks. But like, see, I always hate to harp on Samurai, but look how young she is, and I found such a great actress. Like, it was she did really great performances. Like, I remember that one thing in particular where she was fighting Tenaya with the Thunderstinger, and, like, she was taunting her about how she created the virus, and, like, that tear just came down her eye. Like, it was just really great.
Yeah.
Like, she really carried that performance of, like, oh, fuck, I killed the entire world. And I cut my own hair with lefty scissors.
I killed the entire world, and I was only 12. Oh, God.
I don't know where the fuck they found a Thunderstinger prop to repaint.
I don't know, but it was. I didn't even notice it until like a few minutes in. Was Ziggy's like, pew, pew, pew. And I loved her epic Udonna cloak, too.
Yeah.
And then she goes out in like a Sally Sunshine outfit. Like, she's just, seriously, she's one of my favorite characters in PR of all time. She was great.
Power Rangers, RPM, get in gear.
They stand together.
All right, so,
I stand together.
Well, the only other ally we can really talk about is Truman.
Zeltrax.
I mean, there was the other soldiers. We can kind of briefly cover them. But Hicks was just a stupid.
And he was a Vengeix robot the whole time. And he's like, detecting internal Vengeix hardware. This guy's a douchebag. Dude, you're a total offender. Shenanigans.
Hypocrite.
Scan yourself.
Hypocrite.
Scan yourself. Like, seriously. Because he was the one that was like, put Dylan in jail. Don't you touch my Dylan. Hybrid freak.
Anyway. Truman.
Anyway. He was a badass.
He was, like, the actor's incredible, for one thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he acted exactly how you would think, like, a military leader would act. Uh-huh. Like, he didn't, like, do things just because his son told him to. Like, he was actually really stubborn about it, and I liked that, just because it showed that while he still loved his son, like, he wasn't going to do something stupid just because Red Ranger told him to.
Even though Scott ended up being right most of the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, well, we're not going to do this, that's stupid.
Always right.
5 seconds later, city blows up. Ah, fuck. if only Tommy hadn't taken my promotion. But he was just, like, he didn't have, like, other than that, like, a ton of stuff going on, but he was just a badass. His epic fire glasses rips him off like a badass.
And, like, I like how he realized, like, he was wrong most of the time. Like, despite the fact that he was stubborn, which I did like, I like that he eventually, like, realized, like, hey, I'm being a complete moron. If I would have did this, then we would have been safer.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't just go, no, I was right the entire time. I don't care what happened. Blah.
Blah. Oh, he's so awesome. Everyone's so awesome.
Dr. K was in The Lord of the Rings.
Another one?
She's probably the best character in The Two Towers.
Who's your favorite character in Lord of the Rings? Dr. K. What?
Dr. K and Master Fant.
Master Fant. Jungle Fury Elephant Ranger.
An entire fucking cast was in The Lord of the Rings.
Dylan is in Lord of the Rings just punching people, didn't even need a sword.
I mean, that just warrants more the fact that, like, Disney era PR got so many good, like, respectable New Zealand actors.
Yeah. People are like, oh, these guys are stupid, their accents slip, like, because we don't know them over here. God, I can't wait to...
He was in Lord of the Rings, but he wasn't Superman Returns.
I can't wait to rant about this next week. It's going to be so awesome.
Deltrax?
No, Dan Ewing.
Oh.
He should have played Superman. Fuck.
Oh, Zeltrax was in Wendy Wu Homecoming Warrior.
I know. And he's also Sensei in Ninja
Storm. Dan Ewing was in the Australian Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yeah. I seen some pictures of him on there. It was hilarious. Zeltrax was also in Bridge to Terabithia.
Sounds familiar.
He was in Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off too.
Yeah, he was the coach. That's where he got Summer.
The entire and cast of RPM was in Eddie's Million Dollar
Flynn Cook-Off. Was in You Wish. He was Twitty's best friend. I forgot the name of the actual character. I just call him Twitty. Oh, and Scott was in the Wii commercial for some kind of game. He's like, hey, look, I'm in this commercial.
Poor Mike Ginn doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
He was in Power Rangers RPM.
Getting here.
Gemma was in Shortland Street and Xena, like half of the other cast members. They're always in Shortland Street or Xena.
The Warrior Princess.
Ziggy, what have you done? Not much.
Poor Ziggy.
That's a shame. Oh, he was in Legend of the Seeker.
I heard that. So was half of those people.
Anyway, we just went on a tangent about
how
awesome these people are.
Sorry.
I'm
not sorry.
Hicks is a stupid.
Hicks is a damn hick.
Vasquez was a woman.
Who was an evil woman? Because all of his damn close like people were hybrids.
You know who wasn't? Benny.
Who was Benny?
that was like Ziggy's bro from the cartel.
Oh yeah, Benny. Benny's awesome. And how about Fresno Bob? Fresno Bob is the shit.
Fresno Bob was actually really fun.
But just the soldiers, like, there's nothing character-wise to talk about, but I love that they were involved in battles.
Yeah, like they actually did things.
Yeah, like they're out there like, pew pew, we can't do a shit until the Rangers show up. But they were there. Like, lasers are so much less violent than bullets, they only leave a white hot wound that will never heal. Whatever. But yeah. That was one thing to talk about with stories. It was cool they included like the mob, even if it was like the candy cartels or whatever. They were like the sweet tooths.
Yeah, like
they had to make it kid friendly sort of, but the fact that they did that was awesome.
Yeah. I like how you had something like the Scorpion Cartel, and then all the other ones were all weird, like the Yo-Yo Brothers or something.
That was
like,
funny.
Like, you're the Scorpion, and then everyone else is...
It reminded me of Mystery Men, where he had all the weirdo gangs. It's like, the jokes! I'm like, LOL, you're Barbosa.
Spike, Mike, and the boys. The South Town Sweet Tooths. Stealing candy from babies.
Speaking of babies, how badass is that baby that Scott beat the grinders up with? That can't be safe. They should be an ad, never shake a baby. Just show Scott like, throwing the baby around.
I ate a baby.
Alright, so.
In my belly!
Virens!
Virens!
I am a Viren. Well, who are we starting with, motherfucker?
Yes. So, Vengix will start with since he is the main bad guy.
Okay.
He was awesome, like, in a sense, like. I mean, he fucked up things, but I mean, he was a computer program.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just the fact that our main villain was a sentient computer program was pretty cool.
Yeah. And, like, the way the voice and everything was, like, sure, he's in the body later, but in particular, it doesn't sound like it would be, but when he was in the tube, he was really intimidating because he's so emotionless.
Yeah.
Begin like, the download.
Like, all the other villains have, like, motivations or, like, emotions in some sense. But, like, he was just so emotionless. Like, he didn't care and have a sympathetic, like, bone like, in his body.
He didn't care about, like, any of his, like, staff.
Yeah. Other than I feel like he was trying to bone Tanai all the time.
Build a new one. And, like, he didn't care about himself because he could just make a new body.
Yeah.
Like, even if he got destroyed, he was still there in the tube.
Yeah.
Until the end, apparently, because he got sucked out of his network or whatever. But
yeah, and now he's in the morphing grid. Man, I wish he would kill those damn samurai rangers. Anyway, but what was I saying? Oh yeah, but like Kevin said earlier, it was cool that they put him in those guys' bodies. Both of their names are ridiculous.
Yeah, since they had to like make use of him anyway.
Yeah.
And I think it was a nice way to incorporate Vengix outside of his palace.
Yeah.
Instead of introducing more characters that are just going to get killed off.
Yeah.
So I like the way that they handled that.
And he basically is, with the exception of like Tanai, he's basically a solitary operation because all these damn creatures are created by him, so they're just like another aspect of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was I going to say? Fuck me. I forgot.
No, thank you, sir.
Something about Vengix, obviously.
He's Master Lope.
Wasn't he? Yeah, he was like, hey, look, I'm also the Cheetah Girl's dad. It was the same guy. Yeah, I'm Raven Simone's dad. She does nothing now.
She's in that one show on, like,
ABC. It's the future she can't see.
All right, so Vengix was awesome. Moving along. Shifter.
Shifter, yeah, he was there.
Wasn't he retarded?
He was like,
that was Crunch.
Oh,
Shifter
sorry.
Was Yogastein.
I always get them mixed up. I thought Crunch was Yogastein.
No, Crunch was the guy that looked like a barbershop pole.
Oh. Well, basically, that's another explanation for you, Jeff. Where in the world are Bulk and Skull? They died. Those are their bodies.
Yeah, they turned into Shifter and Crunch.
Joke provided by Shuku and Shinobi, 2011. Trademark.
Bitch and what? Oh.
Like, Shift... Like, they started off, I mean, both of them, really stupid.
Yeah.
But Shifter, like, went through a slight change during the writing change.
Yeah.
Mostly because they needed to punt him out because he stopped appearing in a lot of Sentai footage.
Yeah.
I think. But,
And instead of it being his dad, they used his body as the base for the final Vengix body.
Yeah, that was a creative way to go about it, I think.
Yeah, because he's like, this has Titanium Alloy. I spent all my non-money on this. We're going to use it. Speaking of, where the fuck was Summer's money when she was like, I have money? It was like alien money? What the hell was that? They couldn't find any dollars? It's
probably New Zealand money.
I know, but seriously, there had to be someone there with some American money. God, sorry. I just had to comment on that.
Speaking of, we'll get to that later. Yeah, Shifter was... Oh, he was okay, I guess.
Yeah, like either of them really aren't anything to comment on. Like, one of them was there for comic relief, and the other one, they were just there, and he... Kind of the generic, like, right-hand henchman betrays him at the end type deal.
Yeah.
Like, they were kind of good characters for Vengix to bounce his ideas off of and stuff.
Yeah. Like, what do you think about this? And Crunch is like, like, brilliant Crunch.
Like, they were just there.
It's Captain Crunch.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
Snaps!
It was strange.
Alright, so, then, like, toward the end, but last third maybe, we had Kilobyte.
Oh yeah, he was decent.
He was something else.
Yeah, getting his accent. Fake hair back.
He had like a really thick accent, and then it changed, and then he kept doing that thing with his hair.
His hair, yeah.
His metal hair.
And then he would masturbate.
Oh God, no.
Oh.
Like, it was kind of, it's like nothing really that big major to comment on, but it was nice that he didn't end up being like a general, like, oh, I'm going to take over the operation for myself, and he was just always genuinely trying to please Vengix.
Yeah.
and, like, trying to get rid of Tanaya so he could be the right-hand man instead of, like, but I don't know. Like, he was a good, like, just their villain. Like, basically, the whole idea of RPM is overshadowed by Vengeance. Like, the idea of him.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, created villains.
Alrighty, Tanaya's...
She had a fine ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, basically, the whole show just watching that. That's why Vendix just couldn't take it anymore. He started hitting on her near the end.
So, hey, baby, you want some of this Vendix penis?
Again, great job so on the actress's behalf.
Sorry.
And just like, I mean, we covered a lot of her character when we started talking about Dylan, but like, she did remind me a lot of Astronema in a sense, like, she knew what she was doing pretty much the entire time. She was pretty smart. She was actually threatening.
And she was hot.
And yes, she was.
So that sure reminds me of Astronema. Oh.
Yeah, I don't have too much
like,
other to
say
than...
She was just a good villain. Like, so she's a good actress. She did a good job of being very cold and commanding, and she wore that suit very well. like, that was a really nice design choice.
Yeah, I like how they slimmed down the go-under character for
Kegelesia.
Yeah, they slimmed her down a bit, and
well, that's what happens when you're not using a former porn star.
Japan was afraid. They're like, we have to put her in all this mechanical stuff, so just show her boobs.
it's funny.
Boobs.
But I really enjoyed Tanaya.
Boobs. I'd like to enjoy Tanaya. Oh.
It was like
I was legitimately upset when she turned into Tanaya 15. I was like, no.
It was basically an Astronema ripoff right down to the goddamn side face thingy. But it was the same guy that wrote Space who was writing it. So he's one to talk about copying the storyline. Like, then why didn't you change it? Ass.
Instead of copying the storyline, he decided to copy his storyline.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, she did. It was kind of neat that she had like a robotic voice and she was colder. And I liked that he couldn't pull her out of it again, like, predictably, and he had to inject her with that thing.
Yeah.
But, I think I was going to say
Zeus.
About... Yeah, exactly. Damn it, there's so much I was going to say about her. Damn it. Oh,
she
it was an interesting
socks.
Twist, an idea that she was blind before.
Yeah.
She was blind, but now can see. Oh.
Thank you.
But she prayed the gay away, and now...
I don't know. Like, there's not a whole lot sadder than I really enjoyed her. All around, if you know what I'm saying.
Whoa.
Dawson's celebrity crush.
You like how yours is like Hibiki, and mine's Tanaya.
And the grinders, I felt were like. Like, everything about this season just like felt so Machine Empire.
Yeah, like, and I like their sound. Like, their sound felt, I don't want to say threatening, but it felt like it should. Like, their little thing. Yeah, let's have silence now.
Well, I'm not sure. How do you mean, sir, mother,
like,
ball sucker?
Like, it's just, it didn't sound like threatening, like, oh my god, fuck, it's a grinder. But it sounded menacing, if you know what I mean. Like, it's hard to describe. Somebody know what I mean before I just go insane. Brian, help. Kevin didn't know what I meant. Okay.
I understand.
Okay. Like, it's hard to describe.
I'm touching my balls.
Speaking of that, like, I like how...
Speaking of my balls, I like when people actually... No, I'm just kidding.
Speaking of that, like, I like how all the attack bots and stuff most of the time didn't really say anything.
Yeah, they
except
were just kind of
Satbot, who was Kelson Henderson.
Yeah, Kilobyte.
Like
we have hired Kelson Henderson in every season.
Well, and his character was important to Dylan, so that made sense.
I think they were just like, "Ah, shit, Kelson, you didn't make the fucking auditions. What are we gonna do with you?" He's like,
"I think he
like,
overslept
we'll
that day."
But yeah, like you said, the it kind of made him seem more menacing. That they were just kind of like not meat brains because there's no meat. They were just screw sacks. Oh god, that sounded gross. But they were just
I
more
have one of those, so.
And they all kind of had their own distinct noise depending on what their theme was.
Yeah.
This is just getting dirty.
Indeedo.
But yeah, what were we talking about though?
Villains. We're done with villains. So
I was reading things, and so I was zoning in and out for the past.
Uh huh. Yeah. I'd like to have butt sex with a monkey. Yeah.
Oh, you too? Okay, good.
So anyway, what the hell are we doing next? Morph? Is that next?
Morph. Yeah. That's not usually my job to fuck that up.
I'm sorry.
Okay, suits. Morph, you ass. Sorry.
Okay.
Morph. Okay. I liked the morph. It was really quick and simple.
Yeah.
It wasn't like favorite morph ever, but it fits like the theme and it got it done really quick. That sounded gross. I like the way the helmets went on. That sounded gross too.
How did the morph go? What happened? I don't remember.
They like skated, and then their suits came on.
Yeah, like it was kind of like a mix of
Overdrive,
and
Jungle Fury in a way because
they were like zooming around all over the place.
Uh
huh. Oh yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
I don't really have a lot to say. Like, it was really quick, and that's kind of nice.
It was fun.
It was good.
It was good in my diaper.
Suits. I like the suits. Don't get me wrong. The only gripe I have about the suits is the fact that like, it's hard to try to figure out why, like, the suits look like they do.
It completely fits the post-apocalyptic theme. What are you talking about?
Well,
it's like, easy Go-Under-wise, because Go-Under is like Digimon, pretty much.
Yeah.
They select a partner. That's not gross. Like the suits themselves, like, I like them. Like, there's something really odd about them, because they looked really odd at first, but I really kind of, like, really like them. But I think, like, when we talked about it in our own discussions before this, when we're watching it, and this will go with the same idea with the Zords, is that you can make it, like, logically with the fact that Dr. K was a kid when she started developing this, combined with Gem and Gemma's kid-like things, because they did help design it, and then, like, you look at their diaries with, like, their unicorns and shit. Like, the fact that they all kind of had this really weird, like, psychiatric kid mentality, it kind of made sense that they came out that way.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, obviously it came out that way because it's Go-Onger. But you could, like, it just kind of fit in a way for me, actually, just because of how, like, weird things were at times. Like, this weird, like, humor and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know, like, exactly what you mean,
but
sir.
But kind of fit.
You have to think about the fact, too, that this was Alphabet Soup that was developing the technology. It wasn't made to fight Vengix. It was repurposed into fighting Vengix.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
So, I mean, Alphabet Soup could have been hardcore NASCAR fans, and they were like, you know what, make it look like it's racing. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, and then Gem and Gem are like, let's add animals! Like,
and big fucking googly eyes.
Like, it's so weird, because, like, you think about it, I'm like, this is not a fit post-apocalyptic, but, like, the way RPM's humor, and then the overall, like, weird psychological fucked-upness of Dr. K and Gem and Gemma,
yeah,
it kind of fit, like, in my mind. It fit RPM's mix between drama and goofiness.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I chalk it up to insane creators.
Like, with the exception that the Zords, I don't think really would work, but the Overdrive suits would have been perfect for this. Like, they're calling them Ranger Operators and all that stuff.
Oh,
they looked
the
most technical.
Yeah.
It
would have worked a little bit better, I think.
Yeah, I was trying to think why I didn't. Well, I guess for the characters, that's why it wouldn't work. Because there's, like, we couldn't have the same characters. We'd have random ass pink, and then we wouldn't have the same people. That's why I didn't like it.
Pink.
Ooh, she doesn't like pink.
Okay.
Thank you, Vita.
Thank you, Pink Demon.
Well, I do like... Never mind.
Help.
I don't know.
I don't know what's going on.
What the fuck's anything. Next? Arsenal?
Art. Gem and Gemma's drawing of a unicorn was fantastic.
Arsenal's next, right?
Yeah, we start with, like, morphers and stuff.
Alright, so the, okay. I liked the... What the fuck do they call them in here? Rev Morpher? Yeah, the wrist one. Green and blacks.
I thought that was the Shift Morpher.
No, the Cell
Shift Changer.
Cell Shift Morpher was the phone.
Oh, that's just stupid.
The Rev Morpher was the wrist one.
So they basically reversed them.
And the Sky Shift Morpher was the Golden Silvers.
Although, honestly, they never referred it like that in the show that I remember.
Yeah, they were just Morphers.
Those were just the Bandai names,
basically.
Those
were just the toy names.
Mm-hmm. Like, is it hello?
Hello.
Sorry. Like, neither of them are really the main two are really my favorite Morphers. They're both kind of fugly-ish.
I don't really like any of the Morphers a lot. Like, I like Rev Morpher the most just because I like wrist Morphers.
Yeah. But they belong to Dylan and Ziggy, so.
Yeah, they belong to my two favorite characters, so. But,
That helps.
And, like, the Go-On Wings, or the Granger Gold and Silver's Morpher, it was pretty unique, I have to say. Like, the way it was kind of like a...
Absolutely.
Stick.
You don't usually see that. Normally, you get either, like, the wrist changer or a cell phone. Here, you get, like, a little damn joystick at the plane. You're like, okay, this is different.
You got, like, a quote-unquote weapon-based. You got a phone, and you got a wrist one, so...
Like, this is, like, not a really weird thing to say, but, like, an odd thing to mention is I like how they made their morphing... like choreography, like fit, so it all kind of flowed. Even though they all had different choreography, it flowed. Like, cause I know, like in Dino Thunder, I always felt like Trent felt really out of place.
Yeah.
Because his White Ranger thing and his movements didn't fit, so eventually he just started saying Dino Thunder Power Up at certain points. Like, there were just certain morphs that they all didn't like gel well together, and they all kind of it just fit. I don't know. I just thought of something, like an observation. Oh, I have to mention Dylan's epic morph.
Oprah! That was the worst slow motion morph.
Like, seriously,
in the history of ever.
Like, RJ's made it sound badass when he did his like Jungle Beast thing, but like this one was way too slowed down, and like it almost made it. His like lips were like flapping everywhere. Like, it almost seemed like the audio almost didn't fit, and his voice sounded fucked up. Like, and it's
like,
made
what are you doing, Dylan?
Because it was supposed to be badass, and like, and his voice got all changed. He sounded like a Down syndrome patient morphing.
Oh, gee, Dawson, no, I ain't in front of the retarded.
Like, it was just that was a bad decision.
Anyway, the Nitro Blasters were okay again. It fit the suits and everything.
Yeah,
that's
like
their gun, right?
Yeah, their whole gas pump. It fit more for Go-Onger's type deal, I guess.
Yeah, it
with being silly and stupid.
It definitely
in other
fits
news,
with Go-Onger, but...
In other news, the Monton gun's actually a really good toy.
Is it?
Yeah, I like it. Like, it's a really nice size, and it looks pretty. Like, the rod's not as long as it should be. It sounds wrong, but I mean, as
that's
a gun, I like it. It's a good size and it's shiny.
The Manhattan gun, yeah, it. It's kind of cool. Mine's in the box somewhere.
And you get an engine sole with it, so you have to buy it.
That's why I bought it.
Oh, Go-Onger. I sort of miss you.
I missed this. I wasn't here for that one.
This one. Anyway. But yeah, they were fine. I had no problems with them.
Yeah. The Wheel Blasters.
They use those out of Zord sometimes,
which was.
I don't remember that from Go-Onger. I don't think that ever happened. Because I know it was American footage when they did it, but I don't think it ever happened in Go-Onger.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I thought Kevin was going to say something. Well, actually, they did in this episode. But I think he's slowly dying. Kevin? Kevin!
What? Okay. I'm right here.
Because to my memory, they never used the Wheel Blasters outside of the cockpit in Go-Onger. Okay. Fine. He's coming up. No. Okay.
What is next? We talked about the burst attacks, sort of. Like, Red had the burst attack, Blue had the time manipulation, Yellow had Kamehameha.
Yeah.
Green could teleport, and Black had the invincibility, then Gold and Silver had nothing.
Poor Gold and Silver.
Poor. They could blow shit up.
They got boom time.
Yeah, that's their power.
My favorite was probably teleportation, just because I want that.
And like it was used in really funny ways too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
The like individual weapons you had. Scott's sword, which was a sword. It was Street Saber. Mm. Blue had the giant ass cannon.
The garage launcher in Go-Onger. Turbo cannon sounds better.
It launches garages.
It's epic. Just launches it and plops it on top of the enemy. Badass. Forget zipline or whatever it's called.
Zip charger was probably the stupidest weapon in PR history.
Probably. They made it sound cooler in the retrospective episode where they're like, oh, it remotely controls. I'm like, that makes it sound a bit more logical. It's like a little like car bomb.
She just launched it off her arm.
Yeah, she was like,
like, let it rip.
Bane blades.
And then Green had giant axe, which was pretty cool. And then Black had smaller gun.
Yeah. None of the weapons really appealed to me.
Yeah, I don't really like any of them.
They were all odd. Yeah. I had to buy that set. Luckily, it was 50% off on HLJ to get that damn Bear RV engine sole. More Goandra War stories. They had the Vengix War, and I have the Goandra War. Oh, feels nice to sit down. Anyway.
Gold and Silver had the Cloud Hatchet, which looked like a space shuttle.
It's a rocket dagger.
And then they combined their morphers with the sword thing.
To make a gun.
To make a gun.
I liked those.
Pretty cool.
I liked the Claw Hatchet? Cloud Hatchet? Claw, whatever, the rocket dagger. I liked that. And I liked the way it combined for their finisher and stuff.
Yeah. And the Rail Saber.
Was it used like once?
Yeah, like it debuted and that was it.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that thing. You also had to buy that for two engine souls. I don't really like that thing either. Like, it's a clever idea, but...
Yeah, it was a clever idea that sucked.
Yeah, like, I see, it's just... yeah, pretty much. You summed it up.
And they're, I guess they're vehicles.
Like they're civilian vehicles?
So Scott had his like race car, and Flynn had a Jeep, Summer had a motorcycle, and Dylan had the Fury.
Yeah. Jungle Fury. Dylan Fury.
Like, I like the fact that they all had like individual ones, and then like Ziggy could just hitch a ride with whoever he wanted to.
Like, yeah, and I like how, like, the overall, like, instead of taking the racing, like, Digimon engine things from Goandra, they made it post-apocalyptic, obviously, but I also like that with those and with the garage, they also kind of, like, in the background included the car theme. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't really prominent, but the fact that they all had their own cars and stuff they're always working on.
A garage.
Yeah, like, it kind of just left it there as an underlying theme, which was, it was really, like, a nice touch. And it made the RPM thing make a lot more sense.
Yeah. But my favorite vehicle is the Goandra.
Oh, that thing is badass.
The Ground Outdoor, like, Operational Network General Purpose Explorational Rover.
Like, that is absolutely fantastic that they included the Goandra's main base.
Yeah.
Made something it stands for, and they used it. Like, what a fantastic reference to where they came from. Like, this is a show we're based off of. We're not using it. It's weird. like that was absolutely masterful. Just like the show.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
I love that they were able to work a way to put the giant word, the stupid word, into the shitless. And then they blew it up.
Into the shitless.
They blew up Goandra.
I know, they blew it up. I was wondering where Bomper was. Bomper totally should have been Dr. K's mobile unit.
In the van.
Bomper should have been Vendix's final body.
Yes!
Oh, snaps!
I'm Vendix, boom boom!
Boom boom.
We're going to fight him in that little bitty body.
Little bitty.
Alright, so let's talk about the Zords.
Zorg Smorge. No, I'm kidding.
Kevin, you want to take this one?
They had eyes and they were googly. No.
Those are optic sensors. Well, I screamed that.
I really like the Zords because It was both cars and aminals. Like, they were adorable. No,
they
the
were
Zords,
adorable.
Yeah, they were pretty cool. They had some different type of vehicles. I mean, we had a school bus for the blue one, for God's sake, and the motorcycle. And although they changed some of the animals in the translation, like they always do. For example, Ziggy had a shark instead of an orca whale.
A wolf instead of a German shepherd.
Yeah, wolf instead of a German shepherd. A chicken. What the hell they made?
They turned it into a falcon.
Yeah, a falcon when it was a chicken.
I thought that Scott
Flynn commented on it being a chicken.
They commented on it being a chicken twice. They never actually referenced it as a falcon in the show.
Yeah, it was banned, I think. Like, RPM totally embraced the chicken.
Yeah, whatever. It was, like, really cool. Like, we had the 1, 2, and 3, because they all had numbers of the three cars, and then they turned into their own, the high octane. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we had 4 and 5, and then we got the Croc Carrier. And those three combined, 4 and 5 could ride the Croc Carrier, and then they can combine it to the Valve Max, which could combine with the high octane. And then
Zenith Megazord.
They have to make the Zenith. And then we had the 7 and 8 come in with their little plane copter things. And
which was like, a Vengix attack ship reformatted.
That they turned into, they combined it with like a whale. And whale turned it into Jumbo Whale, who can't speak. And then they could, all three of those could combine into the, what the fuck they call that one?
Mach Megazord?
The Mach Megazord. And then that could combine with the Zenith to make an even bigger monstrosity.
Skyrev.
Yeah.
And then we had our Dinos, who should have gotten their own Rangers but didn't because they had cool toys with them. And then that made I remember this because Brian couldn't find one for forever.
Paleomax.
Paleomax Megazord. And then that combined into the RPM Ultra Zord, and it was a giant cluster of faces and eyes and parts.
I thought he was going to say a giant cluster of fuck. Brain's like, this is a cluster.
That was just massive and ginormous and like, but they were really cool. I actually like the Zords.
Yeah. I like them too. Like, I agree
personally,
that,
I do like
that the Ultra Zord was a bit of a clusterfuck.
A bit.
I mean, it felt more organized to me than Samurai Howe did.
Samurai?
Yeah. Well, it was, but I like that the and like how they each had their own little like grouping, like 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and then like, but the different parts could combine, so like you could combine Ziggy's or Dylan's with the high octane. You could combine and 8 with it.
Because Ziggy was off with Gemma, so like they made the Valve Max with the chicken, and then Mach Megazord came in with the tail spinner on it.
Oh. Yeah, with the shark. Like they could mix and match, but it wasn't like stupid entirely. And
yeah, they didn't use as much as they could have, but I'm glad that they did on a couple occasions at least.
Like, here's another crazy, like, I know that this really doesn't matter because it comes from GoAndra, but here's another crazy, like, RPM explanation. Is my reasoning behind, like, G9 and G12 or the Skyrev and the Ultrazord looking kind of clusterfucky and not like it fits is because, like, the Vengix attack bot was never part of the original Zord system, and neither was the Paleomax because it was thought to be dead, so they kind of had to force it. But that's one of my, like, in-universe explanations.
Because, like, the Zenith kind of just fit together, but then the others were like,
yeah, just like they were odd looking.
Yeah,
because it was a bubble. It hit me. Well, because like the other thing was an attack bot, so it made sense that it, like they reconfigured it. And then the Paleomax, which was kind of a neat story, is that it was the first Zord she worked on using dinosaur DNA, but it didn't work out at first. So
yeah,
she didn't originally. Yeah, she didn't originally plan for that to be part of the Zord system, so that she configured it, but it didn't have time to make it look good, I guess. That's like an in-universe explanation.
Yeah, I can buy it.
Yeah.
For the Dino Rangers, I thought it would have been cool if they would have just been, like, robot operators of the Paleomax, since no one else could operate it.
Yeah.
Although the robots thing kind of would have been weird with Vengix.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't trust them.
Yeah, like, or maybe just, I don't know, like, some kind of way to include them would have been nice. Like, maybe they could have been, I don't know.
Because those suits were pretty badass.
They were.
Like, and the thing was, I remember seeing them, and then after having Spirit Rangers, like, oh, they're going to do it again. And I didn't know whether to be mad or like, oh, they're going to do the same thing again. But then, like, they were so cool looking that I was, like, happy, and then they didn't use them, and I was sad.
You know what I'm more pissed about that they didn't use them is the fact we didn't get a toy for Kerrigator and Jumbo Whale Rangers.
I know.
I would have really liked that.
Like, I don't really care.
I remember getting upset about that. I was like, So you're making them for the dinosaurs, but not for the other two? Come on.
I know. We could have had an epic team of epicness.
We could have a team of 12 Rangers.
It would be like, awesome.
That would have been really cool to have those.
But, yeah. It would have been nice to have them, but I'm not really too upset just considering how awesome the show was.
Yeah.
But overall, I really like the Zords or the engines. Like, they always kind of appealed to me. Like, they're really silly, but I just really enjoyed them. They were really fun to collect during Goanger.
Mm-hmm.
Rotatak Zord.
Plus you get another one. Sorry. With Gokaiger. Fine.
True.
Oh, yeah, you get the epic, like, evil RC.
Evil RC. yeah, and then he had the Rotatak Zord. He was Warrior Wheel 2.0.
Yeah, he didn't scare Buck, fortunately. like, it wasn't, because of the shorter time limit, it didn't seem to be used as much as Goanger, but I liked the way that it was made, like, with Flynn and Gemma, which is cool. And some good explanations for why it went crazy and stuff. And it was nice. It was a nice addition, and I always enjoyed it. I thought it looked fine.
It was nice.
It was weird. I have a weird voice on right now. Anaya's ass was fine.
all right, so music.
Rangers RP. I'm getting gear.
Theme sucked.
The theme did. Like, it kind of fit the theme in a way. Like, when it got to the part where Dr. K and Colonel Truman's credits popped up, that kind of background music I kind of liked.
Yeah.
But it had like three lines. Seriously, Power Rangers RPM. Get in gear. We stand together. Serious? I think they forgot to hire someone to do the theme, so they just wrote it themselves.
The theme was supposed to be done by, like, the same people that did the theme for The Sweet Life.
Oh, God. Thank God we got this. Wait. Is that who did it? Or was
That's
supposed
who
to
did it.
It. What? They weren't supposed to say, here I am and Corbin. I don't know. Like, the other theme was better, even if it did sound like American Pie, RPM edition. With like, Power Rangers, RPM, let's go. But, I don't know. As far as background music goes, it definitely didn't have as memorable of score as the last seasons have had since SPD.
Mostly because, like, Vengix sounded exactly like the Machine Empire. So it felt so familiar, you kind of ignored it.
Yeah, like, there was several tracks that they used a couple times that I enjoyed.
They used
there was
a couple
lot of
lyrical tracks.
Yeah, like, I always wonder where they got those. They used that one from when, like, Lily was dancing last season.
Yeah.
And, like, I wonder where, like, what is that, royalty-free New Zealand music? What is that? I've never heard that song before in my life. Like, that song they played at the beginning and the end when Dylan saw the flower.
Yeah.
But, like, there was, like I said, there's a few, there were more, like, kind of rockish tunes. There was a few of them that I enjoyed, but it just didn't have as memorable, like, the mystical music of Mystic
and then Tanaya's
Forest.
Whistling.
Oh yeah, that was a nice touch because it's Tanaya.
Good old Farm Rendell. Or Hunting We Will Go, I guess.
And they did remix the Overdrive bass theme, which they used quite often, which I never noticed my first time through, probably because it was 4 a.m. and I was half asleep. But yeah, like it was fine. It was a lot better than do 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 do. But yeah.
Yeah, I didn't mind the score, but I agree, like, it just didn't have as memorable of a score as... I mean, hell, I think Samurai has a better score right now than RPM did. But...
with its recycled MMPR tones.
Like, I mean, I think, like, the music was the only thing RPM really did bad at.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Even then, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, like, it all fit, like, we always say, it fit the theme really well. It just wasn't, like, because all the other seasons previously just had a really, like, well put together score that fit the theme.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so final thoughts.
This show was the shits.
Seriously.
Basically, like, I don't really want to say too much because I felt like we just rambled so long
about
everything, but it's definitely within my top five. It's probably within my top three, maybe even top two.
It's my second favorite overall. If Space wasn't my favorite, it would be my favorite. That sounds funny to say, but Space is only my favorite because of the history that led up to it.
Like, and it was so well put together, and there were so many good things going for it. I mean, we had the good story, the good characters, the cast was great, the writing. Like, it was so epic. Like, a lot of the same things that we talk about when we talk about the really good seasons, this one had going for it as well.
Like... Brian said, without risk of repeating ourselves, I just love the fact that it was, like, the peak of Power Rangers evolution of, like, where I feel it should be.
Yeah.
And it was just like putting it in a sense, it was a masterful show.
But I mean, like you said, like you watch this and you're like, okay, you turn Go-Onger into this, and then you take a look at Samurai and it's Shinkenger dubbed badly.
Yeah.
Where I mean, like, we'll talk about this more next week, but just like watching all these, like even like something like Jungle Fury that took a lot of ties from Gekiranger but still changed so much.
Yeah.
And then RPM, which changed everything.
Yeah.
Like it's disappointing when you run into something that's so carbon copy, but
disappointing when Saban got it back. Everyone's like, yes! I'm like, no! Like, because people are like, oh, it's got to reformat the series again. I have to wait 17 more years? No!
Like, I loved this season the first time I watched it. I loved it the second. I'll probably watch it again in, like, a year or so.
Yeah.
But I think it was just, the cast was great, the characters were great, the story was great, the setting was great. Speaking of the setting, we still don't know where the fuck Corinth is.
It's the desert.
Somewhere in California? Oh.
Probably.
Like, you try looking at that map, and, like, you can't determine anything. Not Gemma's map. But
the map I figured out Unicorn was next.
The map at the beginning of the show.
The Dome City of Corinth.
I just want to briefly touch on it, because there's really no other place to talk about it. Is the, like, the writing change and, like, I still would love somewhere, like, I don't know if at Morphicon or something, somebody to come out and tell me what the hell was the original plan. I just want to know. Like, because Dan Ewing briefly touched on it about how Dylan was supposed to be Vengeance's last body or something, but, and I just want to know, personally, just out of curiosity, how it was originally supposed to all play out.
Yeah.
Like, I figured, because I was looking at some of the staff list, and obviously, like, Koichi and some of the other people stayed on, so obviously, they had to keep some of the same direction, or most of it, because otherwise, they brought in a new writer out of nowhere, so they would have been fucked.
Right.
So, like, they had to keep most of it. It pissed me off that Judd Lynn didn't want to disrespect Eddie's plans. But I just want to know, like, how it was supposed to turn out. One other thing I was mentioning with that, I totally forgot now.
Penis?
I just want to know how it was going to turn out, that's all, pretty much.
No, I agree. I think it'd be nice to find out, like, for sure. There's a lot of things that are going around, like, Fanaro and stuff probably knows half this shit just because he knows everything ever.
Yeah.
But it would just be like nice to know, like, from the source, like Eddie like, himself.
How or like, because he told Dan a lot of his plans. Like, something I want to address is that people always say, oh, he was fired because of the budget. And the words of Dan Ewing, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
he wasn't fired because of the budget. It was something, I get a feeling of something to do creatively. Or something along the lines, but the budget thing is bullshit. Dan Ewing said it, so it is word.
Word.
I just want to know, like, the whole scenario behind everything, like why they fired him,
what the plan was,
all that fun stuff.
Yeah, like, hopefully they'll be at Morphicon and we can find out.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Somebody. Like, they need to get more people from the seasons I love so much. Like, I know the MNPR people have funny stories, but I want people from the good seasons.
They have funny stories, too.
I know. Except for Overdrive. And the kids can fill out the Samurai panel while we all go to the RPM panel.
Yeah. Sure. And then Dawson can badge them until they tell him the actual ending.
Just want to know, man.
The ending.
Just want to know.
What was that?
Oh, God, he turned into Gollum. Oh,
you see Dawson being escorted out of the building by security. What was the ending?
He's going crazy. End up in a facility. Alphabet soup.
Such a fun name for a facility.
It was. What was that? What's that scene where someone said, like, oh, what was like when you were little? I grew up in a government-sanctioned facility called Alphabet Soup. It was really funny. She was like, gay.
Okay, then.
A psycho.
Okay. Those crazy bastards.
So basically, RPM is awesome. Just the sex.
It is. Okay. All right. I'm going to read Single Boy's post just because I haven't read a post of his yet. All right, so he says, "Are you kidding me? In my opinion, RPM is the best of all PR ever. When I saw the 4-minute trailer, I knew this was going to turn into one hell of a show. And I just want to make a comment on that real quick. I remember that trailer getting posted when I was at my college, and I was waiting for my class to start, and I was there like 10-15 minutes early, and I hopped on Ranger Board to browse around, and I seen the trailer. I was like, oh, I have to watch this. So I watched it. I remember just the entire class period going, that was awesome, that was awesome, that was awesome.
Like, fuck class, I just want to be RPM, I want to get in gear.
And so, like, I was all excited, like, that entire class period. And, so anyway, it says, characters, all of them are badass. I think the plot and characters that would make this series so epic. Villains are mostly the same. Effing badass. Some of them. After I saw the final episode, I was wondering, could this be a cliffhanger? Sort of. But before Saban brings PR back, I thought Disney planned to make an RPM movie involving all of the Rangers, since, you know, at the time we thought that RPM was the final season. Comment on that. I don't think Disney would ever do that, considering they wanted to get rid of it after Jungle Fury.
Yeah.
But the ending was definitely not cliffhanger-ish, but open-ended.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which I thought was actually kind of fun. Fun for the fanfickers, I guess.
Fanfuckers. Get it? That's what it sounded like.
Anyway.
Just derps me.
After Saban buys back PR, I wondered again, could they make an RPM sequel or something? They could, but it wouldn't be as good. I know it's crazy, but after knowing Samurai didn't have an origin, a crazy idea came to my mind. Power Rangers Movie War, which would probably make me kill myself. First segment tells about the aftermath of RPM, second tells the origin of Samurai, and third, Vengex comes to Samurai's world, and Samurai teams up with RPM, with Antonio making a cameo. Enough rambling. He wrote that, not me. But I would love a movie about the aftermath of RPM. But
yeah, I would
love a movie featuring Dylan and Ziggy. So that's...
It has to be done by the right people, though.
Yeah. What I don't like about the series is that there's no Battleizer and almost no promotion for RPM. Disney makes RPM feel like a pay-per-view show. I'm glad, however, that these two nitpicks didn't affect the plot.
Well, it was like porn for us, so...
remember what I said about Dino Thunder and its most successful Disney PR? If RPM had the same promotion, it would beat the hell out of the other PRs. This is Disney's Time Force. This is the PR for fans. And Eddie was a fan, actually, so this is kind of like the PR for fans by fan. So,
yeah.
Boo-boo.
this is a perfect example of a Terminator parody. RPM is the greatest PR series ever, but sadly the less successful PR due to its little publication made to the series. One more thing. Saban, please bring back RPM, please. I think your calls are falling on deaf ears.
Yeah.
Deaf ears. Yeah.
On stupid ears. Saban, please give PR to someone else.
Saban, please fire Zatcher. Let's just start there.
So, I mean, I think, like, more RPM-related things would be great, just because, like, it was such an expansive universe. It only had 32 episodes to itself.
Yeah.
And, like, I would have loved to see more if possible, but... And I agree completely with the fact that this was just promoted so little. Like, they have Disney fucking XD, a boys' network, and they shove PR to ABC Kids.
It would have been perfect to launch Disney XD with RPM and Aaron Stone.
Like,
perfect.
It was just so obvious at that point that Disney didn't give a care about Power Rangers anymore, and that they were only doing it because Jetix Europe and Bandai wanted them to.
They didn't appear to care about it for a while, though.
Like, they cared about it less and less. You could tell by the promotion, but at least with Jungle Fury, they actually ran ads.
Yeah, they ran the typical, like, individual Ranger ads, even though I think only Casey got one. Casey and Daishi got one.
Although RPM, I hardly ever knew when it was airing, or, like, if there's going to be a new episode, or if there'd be one or two, or... Like, it was ridiculous.
Like, in regards to the team-up, I'd love to see that, but it'd have to be done right. Like, I don't want to see the damn idiot samurai writers writing their dialogue, which is one nice thing that Koichi is always there, because he knows each season, so I feel like he'd be able to help with that a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, but I just wouldn't want Samurai to touch my RPM cast. I think they need to do an RPM Samurai team-up without featuring the Samurai cast in it.
Like, Ziggy and Dylan come in, and then Kevin responds with bad acting? Like,
Kevin always responds with bad acting.
I made jokes about that in my Shinken Blue figure review. And then I did Mike jokes in my Shinken Green one.
That makes sense. Anyway. All
right, next.
I did it in my G-voice, too.
Okay, so I'm going to read John's post. I'm going to kind of paraphrase and just kind of bounce around and get some of the main ideas because it's a really long post. But I feel like I have to read this because he's awesome and he wrote this from his iPod. So, pretty much agrees with our point about how he's glad that it's not Goander, and it is his favorite season tying with space, just like me. And the Pope is awesome.
Pope? What's God doing here?
The Pope's apocalyptic theme is perfect for primetime, like series, which is awesome, and the PR was no longer targeted towards kids. Pretty much all the points that I'm making. Were there plot holes you could probably drive a Goander van through? Yes. I didn't find that many, actually. At least, like, O's.
I'd like to, like, know what plot holes people are speaking of. I mean, I'm sure they're there. I just can't recall any right now.
The plot holes are all in O's. It's the three rings of O's. They're just the plot holes of it.
Okay.
So, Dylan, just like RJ says, he is the business. Dan Ewing is an amazing actor, which I totally agree with. He gives a list of some of his acting experiments and stuff like Home and Away. Rescue Special Ops? Isn't that Tomoko Hero Rescue Force? Blue Water High. And then he talks about how he was on the Aussie version of Dancing with the Stars because he's the business. Talking about how the character is awesome. Scott, he initially didn't care for Scott with his cocky attitude and tendency to run off. I like how, I did forget to mention this, that when he talks about how when he knows best, he would just run off into the dome and he endangers the whole city. Yeah. That is true, because they made a big deal about opening the city gates, and then they opened it like every episode.
Yeah. Like, there was a couple episodes where they just walk in.
Yeah, just like, whatever, fuck this shit. he was in a show called Sleepover Club, and a stint as Adam Bridge in Blue Water High. He was also in the Wii commercial. Flynn is the best Scottish Ranger ever. Now, I don't know what you mean by I don't care what he is the only Scottish Ranger by. Is still the best.
Wait, you said he was typing on an iDevice, right?
Yeah.
That was probably it.
Yeah, that's true. But I just want to know what it really means. It's kind of like how Kevin got a goosing cellular.
And I how did. Him to
jump into
it
a nest
good.
Or something. And he really, really wished the season would have been longer so we could have gotten more development from him. As an actor, he was also in another post-apocalyptic drama called The Tribe. I feel like that's a Nick show. That might be The Troop, though. And he's also in Shortland Street, like everyone else, as Brody. I thought that was from One Life to Live. Oh, well. And then he was also, like I said, in You Wish. Summer, he said, dude, Summer was amazing. He loved that she was a Paris Hilton-like girl before, and his favorite yellow ever. Probably really close to mine. She's also in Shortland Street, Xena, just like Brian said, in Disney movies. $80 million cook-off. I love this part here where he says, Ziggy, where are the characters I hate? Come on, people. There has to be one. I guess not. He talks about how funny Ziggy is, Milo's comedic timing. Basically all the same things we were saying. That's why we don't read so many of these, because they all agree with us. Unfortunately, he didn't do much acting, like we said. Jim and Gemma... He said, there they are. He didn't really care for them as much. Separately, he could have killed them. When they finished each other's sentences, he could have strangled them. Brian's trying to resist the urge to kill people now. Gemma also did Shoreline Street, basically the things we said about her not having... dying of some soapy disease? What? She played a character named Dr. Li Ming Chen, always had a stick up her bum, and nevertheless had time to break up multiple marriages, sleep with men for money, and run a phone sex line while doing other fun dramatic things before dying of a soapy disease. Well,
who is this?
I think that's Gemma with her chipmunk face. Anyway, Dr. K, also a shorty vet. I read that as also a short vet. I thought he was making fun of her size. She did a good job in the mentor role. Mason Truman, he was there. As well as the rest of the military crew, but he was Zeltrax. Vendix was the Terminator. I'm pretty sure it's IX. Anyway, Tanya, her name is Tanaya, and she has a butt. She's a former neighbor. I want her to be my neighbor. Yeah, he says, yeah, the plot was predictable. she had a brother whose name was Dylan. She had a daughter whose name was Star. I didn't catch that the first time I read that. Awesome. Mirrored astronomer's story, but still happy with the time of development was put into her. Swords were epic. No blinking or talking equals epic win. Music was all right from what I can remember. Overall, I love the series and really wish it had been handled by a different network and possibly a primetime slot because I felt the quality was overall there for it. I would think that whoever is at Saban, this isn't Twitter, you don't need to write it like that, took over Power Rangers Productions, should be fired after seeing how epic RPM was and the horrific backwardsness of Samurai in comparison. I agree, I totally paraphrase that sentence, sorry. Anyway, love the series, I really hope the Ghost Rangers / Gokaiger adaptations try to mimic the series rather than do MMPR Season 2. I completely agree with finished everything he said, except for liking Gem and Gemma better, and I love the epic Todd references. Who was Todd? I don't know. It was so good today. Anyway, Kevin, you ready? I think he's pretending to be asleep.
Oh man, okay, so okay. Let me get prepared for this. Alright, so here's Nikazu's post. This show is awesome and a good way to end the Disney era PR seasons. And
holy shit.
And I prefer this over Kevin, please use your mobile when you read this. Well, I don't have mine handy.
I don't think you can talk freely.
Let's see. Use your mobile for this. Okay. Oops.
Goja!
There you go. Because Goanja was too wacky. Red Rangers first. Scott is first because he is red, so it was a cool Sautry being all, I'm the leader of the Power Rangers, but you still don't believe in my daddy. What?
You don't believe it.
It was something different, but yeah, he's in my top five red. Also, he has an awesome red car, which I want. When our Scottish guy, who I like because he is there just to make drinks, build things, and be kind of smart again. In my top five blues, Summer was, she was cool and hot, being first the rich bitch, and then becoming the best chick riding a motorcycle. Getting my top five favorite yellows. Finally, Ziggy, he is awesome. He, like, if you take a normal guy that is in with the mafia, give him a morpher, then that is what you get. You get Ziggy. Also, I think if you fuse Guy and Ziggy, you get Kevin. Guy for the Sentai Intersect and Ziggy for being Ziggy. And once again, in my top five greens, I think even in my top three of greens, Delana, our best of the season. He was the head character of the season because he was all infected by Vendix's robovirus. And having his sis being the enemy, awesome. Again, top five blacks. That's racist. Emma, I do them both. Ew, because they're kind of the same person. Jem was the bro, Jem of the sis. They were old friends of Kay, and yeah, Jem built the road attack sword with Flynn, our Scottish guy. And for the rest, I prefer the go on wings over them because at least they did more things like Jem and Gemma. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot they like explosions. Allies are up. Our next up, Colonel Mason Truman is Scott's father, and he was kind of a D1. He was cool sometimes. Dr. K, first a bitch, then a smart, cool girl, but she was still kind of a bitch.
Not
because she
wants.
Called Ziggy Ranger Green or something like that, and at the end, being Miss Ziggy, and also her backstory was marvelous because it was original and so awesome.
Marvelous.
Corporal Hicks, D1, Marcus Truman, Scott's dead brother, Claire and Martin Lansdowne, Summer's rich parents who I hate for being rich. Give us Toku fans your money.
Money.
Tanaya, when she is good, she was cool being blind, then turned into Tanaya 7. Then Dylan wakes her up here. Lol, wake up. And she becomes good, then human, and properly. She is now blind again. Flynn's father, he was there for Flynn's backstory. Vasquez, female officer, to be there sometime. And for that episode where all the males became confused or something like that. Fresno Bob and the Scorpion Cartel. Oh, no, it is the Ziggy Mafia. Arsenal is next.
Only a quarter of the way through.
Cell-shift Morpher was cool, but here start the gimmick for every season since Goanja/RPM, but it was cool. Rev Morpher, it is like a brake gear. It fits the racing theme. Sky-shift Morpher, it is a helicopter/jet-trigger controller, which it fits the sky desing that the Go-On wings have, so they are cool. The gimmick engine cells. Say, Kevin, how much did you spend on the engine cells for Go-On? Hee-hee. No comment, bitch. Nitro Blaster, gas pump beating stick, but cool. Street Saber, it is a saber with a street on it. What more is there to say? Turbo Cannon, giant. Oh, sorry. Gaint, Scottish Cannon of Death. Zip Charger, it is a RC car of explosions. Road Blaster, Team Cannon. Turbo Axe, it is a Gaint Axe. Oh, and it is green. Rocket Blaster, it don't shoot rockets. So why call it Rocket Blaster? RPM Enforcer, it just screams Cannoner of Death. Wheel Blasters, it is a steering wheel, and it is a blaster. Nothing more to say. Cloud Hatchets, name is better than Rocket Boosters, but maybe Booster Hatchets would be even better, I think. Skyship Blasters, Oki Awesome Morpher plus Personal Weapon equals this equals epicness. Rail Saber, it is not a saber, but a beating stick and blaster. Rail Saber plus Nitro Blaster equals Rail Saber something. Zords, Oki, now I will try to keep it short, no promises. Eagle Racer equals Eagle plus Speed Racer equals Speedor. Lion Hauler equals Lion plus Bus equals Bus On. Bear Crawler equals Bear plus RV equals Bear V. Tail Spinner, I agree with Sound On, it is better called Shark Spinner equals Orca plus Bike equals Barca. Wolf cruiser equals wolf plus police car equals gun parrot. Don't know what animal and vehicle really are. It's a German shepherd in a police car, ass. Croc carrier equals alligator, and carrot plus carrier equals carrigator.
Carrot?
Shut up. Falcon copter. It is a rooster, not a falcon. Equals rooster plus helicopter equals tripter. Tiger jet equals tiger plus jet equals jet trials. Whale zord, again, sound the same is better. Equals whale plus jumbo jet equals jumbo whale. Paleo zord, mammoth plus locomotive equals kishamoth. T-Rex and triceratops plus train carts equals T-Line and K-Line. Overall, epic zords, I love them, but it sucks that they did not use the Goanja movie mecha. All the Megazords were cool, were cool and wacky at the same time, so it is a win-win in my book. Rotatagzord is a wheel thingy, that's all I have to say. RPM Ultrazord was our second cluster, dot dot K. Final combination, which was epic. Lastly.
Sorry.
Lastly, there we go. Lastly, but not the least, villains. Vengix. No, this is not the Wild Force Shadow Borg. This is a virus that was created by Kay because she wanted to go outside, but then it became the stereotypical robot thingy that wants humans to die. Also, I liked how they used Land Pollution Vice Minister here in Mechamedes' and Yogo Shimakrasen's bodies for Vengix. General Shifter, the kind of rebel villain who died first. General Crunch, the crazy villain. Tanaya 7 and 15. Question, where are Tanaya 8 to 14? She was
house.
A...
yes.
She was
yes,
a B-Wunch, but she had a good story, really. Really original and better than a Japanese porn star, and now I know why Ahime turns into Go On Black. Kevin thinks Snai is in that suit. Oh. Finally, Kilobyte in Go Onger was a cleaning minister, and he was D-Wunk, and he is also a D-Wunk, but he is also jealous of Tanaya, so he wants her to die in a deep, deep hole full of cleaning stuff. But yeah, D-Wunk, grinders and droids done.
Droids?
Droids?
So my final thoughts on RPM, it is awesome. It is in my top three PR seasons. I love it, so 9.9 out of 10. Space is still the best. That was pretty much it, and wow. So that was fun.
Yeah. So this is potentially the last viewer's thoughts ever, maybe. I don't know. We haven't decided yet.
We're fucked.
We're not even sure what we're doing, really.
We're just kind of going with it.
So. But next weekend, we are going to be doing a sort of mini debate between what's better, Saban or Disney. A lot of people have an opinion that is different than ours, or at least mine.
Ours, yeah.
I like gravy.
I can agree with Kevin. I like gravy.
Me too. We all agree as
you
usual.
Don't like gravy, you are not a person. So I'll a thread will be up by the time this goes up, and we're probably just gonna kind of do a poll. And
yeah.
You can voice your thoughts if you want
I'm
to.
I'm not doing any poll.
We don't really plan on reading any, but we might pluck some.
Like, what I think we should maybe do is just is like read them in our free time, and then just kind of incorporate things we picked up, kind of like I do with Kiefer, is I just incorporate ideas I picked up. That might be easier.
Yeah, it'll be better than actually reading posts for something as debatable as that. So,
yeah, but feel free to post because I'm curious about your thoughts.
Yeah, it'll be a fun time.
Yeah, because it'll be, like you said, Disney versus Saban, and it'll also in the end be kind of an overall retrospective of this whole series, and then we'll talk about our plans for the future of the segment.
Yep, so look forward to that next week.
And then there's silence.
And there's silence, so on to...
Final thingies!
Said 5 seconds ago, that was
yeah.
the final thingies.
Uh-huh.
Pulled out the final thingy too soon.
I'm sorry.
No.
It's in my diaper. And well, cause then you go, okay.
Oh shit! Oh shit! That literally scared the shit out of me. Holy crap. My heart is going so fast.
Kevin, unplug your microphone.
Oh my god. Oh my god, my heart's going so fast.
Okay.
I hope that makes it in the cast. It's too
funny. It won't. It won't. That was, oh god, I don't want to do that to my viewers.
What happened?
Your
microphone went, it attacked us.
So that this was a really epic episode of Oath. I go first. Anyway.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have talked that. Help. Help. Stop. Help. I'm sorry. You can go first.
Oh my god, I'm dying. Fuck the fucking microphone. God damn it.
You can go first. Hello? Is he alive? Kevin? Hello? Is he in the call? He's still here.
No, he's gone.
Is he?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That was hilarious.
Too bad it'll probably be pwned by the editing, and it'll just feel like we're reacting to nothing.